hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon, partly cloudy, 56 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by James Hardy Building. There'll be a joint press conference this afternoon at 2:30 with Governor Bill Owens and Colorado Attorney General Ken Salazar to announce what are being called significant steps regarding the situation at the University of Colorado at Boulder. It's expected that a special prosecutor will be named to investigate the sex scandal at CU. Some sad news to report from Swedish Medical Center, where they've released information that Dr. Gatewood C. Milligan has died from the injuries he suffered in a fire at his residence in Englewood on Monday evening. Milligan was 96 years old and had been a prominent doctor in the metro area for years, practicing obstetrics at Swedish Hospital and delivering more than 4,000 babies. According to friends, Milligan helped shape the city of Lakewood and served as a city council member there in 1948. His 93-year-old wife, Maxine, died in the fire Monday night. A California man is in custody in Los Angeles, charged with threatening to kill the prosecutor in Kobe Bryant's sexual assault case. The suspect, identified as 37-year-old Cedric Augustine of Long Beach, also allegedly threatened to blow up the courtroom in the town of Eagle, the site of the high-profile trial. Augustine was arrested yesterday and is scheduled to appear in federal court in Los Angeles later today. U.S. Attorney John Southers issued a statement saying the threats were blatant attempts to influence and impede the prosecution of a criminal case. He added the threats are of a menacing nature and were taken seriously by the victims, necessitating prosecution of the alleged perpetrator. Bryan is accused of raping a 19-year-old woman at an Eagle resort last June. He insists the sex was consensual. There is no date set for the trial yet, but another in a series of pretrial hearings is set for this coming week in Eagle. Martha Stewart has scored a major victory at her securities fraud trial. A federal judge has thrown out the securities fraud charge, which was the most serious count against her. Paul Martinek, editor of Lawyers Weekly USA, is not surprised.
And a lot of people, regardless of how they feel about Martha Stewart, I think felt that the government was really stretching by trying to assert that alleging your innocence is unlawful or something that could subject you to criminal penalties.
The judge ruled that the government had failed to present enough evidence to submit the fraud charge to the jury. Stewart still faces charges of perjury and obstruction of justice. Immediately after the judge's decision was disclosed, shares of Martha Stewart Living Omni Media spiked. The domestic diva and her former stockbroker, Peter Bakanovic, faced charges of lying to federal investigators who were looking into Stewart's dumping of ImClone stock. Closing arguments are set for Monday and Tuesday. The jury expected to get the case on Wednesday. President Bush today called on all sides in the debate about gay marriages to debate with dignity and respect.
I believe that a marriage has served society well, and I believe it is important to affirm that marriage between a man and a woman is the ideal, and the job of the president is to drive policy toward the ideal.
Bush said the issue of marriage between gays and lesbians is an important issue and should be decided by the people. Earlier this week, he said that he would support a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriages. Bush made those comments during a media opportunity at the White House with German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder. The National Commission investigating the 9/11 attacks will have 1 hour to quiz President Bush on what he knew about events leading up to the attacks. Also, instead of going before all 10 members of the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks, Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney have agreed to meet privately only with its chairman, Thomas Keene, and the vice chairman, Lee Hamilton. The panel has expressed concern it won't have enough time to gather all the information it needs to meet a May 27th deadline to complete its report. The Senate today approved a two-month extension for the commission, but Republican House Speaker Dennis Hastert remains opposed to it. New studies released today find that nearly 11,000 children were allegedly sexually abused by Roman Catholic priests between 1950 and 2002. One study was commissioned by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, another by the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. An official on a board that works with the bishops described the problem of abuse of minors in the Catholic Church as being epidemic. With 2 hours left in today's trading session, stocks were mixed. The Dow up almost 9 points, the Nasdaq down 8, the S&P 500 up just over a point. In sports, both the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets have the night off as they both hit the road for games tomorrow. The Avs will be in Columbus tomorrow to play the Blue Jackets, while the Nuggets head to San Antonio to play the Spurs. Nuggets were off last night, but the Avs skated to a 2-2 tie with the St. Louis Blues at the Pepsi Center. James Hardy Siding provides homeowners the beauty of wood without the usual maintenance. Visit them on the web at jameshardy.com to learn more. That's jameshardie.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
If it weren't for George Bush and John Kerry, Michael Jackson and Kobe Bryant, what would we have to talk about?
Fucking just get you into trouble.
Don't worry, we're on it. Hear the who does what next on Denver's AM 1150, KNRC.
Hey, Mary, what you doing?
I'm declaring my independence. I'm switching my internet access to ProLink.
I didn't know you played golf. Where do you play?
Golf? Are you kidding? I couldn't tell a golf ball from a disco ball.
Well, didn't you say ProLink?
Yeah, but ProLink isn't about golf. It's about DSL, dial-up, and all that, you know, internet access.
I've never heard of ProLink.
They're an ISP. They offer the same high-quality internet access as the big guys, but without the poor service and annoying Super Bowl ads.
Is their connection fast?
Sure. Their DSL taps directly into large networks, just like the big guys, and they're giving me 2 free months of internet access.
Well, that settles it. I'm switching to ProLinks. How do I get connected?
Call them at 303-972-3218, and they'll get you squared away. That number again is 303-972-3218. Mention this ad and get your first 2 months of high-speed internet access for free. That number again is 303-972-3218. You'll be glad you did.
DSL cross-connector installation fees are not included. Not available in all areas.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by FedEx and several problems around the metro area. The latest one, southbound 225 Yosemite, an accident involving a semi. We do have a problem on Santa Fe at C-470, an accident. Injury accident, Holly and Riverdale. Accidents in the cleanup stages, 18th and Stout downtown, as well as Downing and Alameda. With Express Ground and Freight Services, FedEx offers delivery options for all your shipping needs. You can always rely on the ultimate and reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Jimmy Lakey in the mornings beginning at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. One more pleasantly mild day today before our temperatures take a nosedive and a little snow and rain moves in. It'll be partly cloudy through the afternoon with a high near 60, fair this evening, and then cloudy later tonight with a low around 30. Some scattered afternoon rain showers expected on Saturday that should switch over to snow after midnight, and with spotty snow showers on Sunday, a high only around 35. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 56 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
Hello, Denver. It is the Enid Goldstein Show, and Enid is one of the most entertaining personalities in Denver. But I think you figured out already, it's not Enid today. This is T.R. Reid. I'm a reporter for the Washington Post, sitting in for my friend, excuse me, Enid today. And as you will see, or as you maybe have already heard on this air from time to time, I'm a total klutz when it comes to talk radio. I can't even figure out which buttons to push. So I need your help. I can't do it as well as Enid, but I'm going to struggle through here and would be delighted if you'd, particularly on today's topics, it would be useful if you could call up and help me out because I have a lot of questions about the things we're going to discuss today. The number to call, 303-382-1150, 382-1150 here on 1150 AM KNRC. Beautiful day in Denver. Don't they know it's winter? I mean, this is February. Yesterday it was 65. Today it's close to 60. I rode my bike downtown today. Denver's a pretty good town to ride a bicycle in. I just recently moved home from London, and Denver is a lot better than London for riding a bicycle in. At least people here are looking for you so you don't get hit quite so often. The crocuses are up in our garden, the yellow crocuses, the purple ones. We can see the tulips sticking up. I'm afraid we're going to get another blast of winter and really harm those tulips, but in any case, spring seems to be on the way, which is entirely appropriate because the topic we're going to discuss today seems to me a very springy kind of topic, and that is marriage. I'm going to start off talking about two different marriages and see how you feel about them. First of all, I want to talk about the marriage of Sonia Roth and Renee Pick down in Bernalillo, New Mexico, in Sandoval County, north of Albuquerque. This is a high desert town. It's one of the oldest towns in the United States. Bernalillo was a booming market town before the Pilgrims got to Plymouth Rock. And as you may have read, last week, the county clerk down in Sandoval County, New Mexico, decided that she did not have the right to say no to same-sex couples who wanted to get married. I went down there as a reporter. I work for the Washington Post. I went down there to cover this story in this rural New Mexico county of all places. This is not San Francisco. It's not New York City. It's not Massachusetts. What were they doing having same-sex marriage? And I met this couple, Sonia Roth and Renee Pick. To me, I don't know what I think about gay marriage, frankly, but I think for that particular couple, this was a good deal. This is a teacher and a marketing executive. They've been living together for 10 years. You can see immediately that they're in love. They're decent people. They've had a faithful marriage. They've had two children, which one of the women bore with the help of a sperm donation center. So they have their own two sons, and one of the sons is six and said to Sonia the other day, "Mommy, do boys and girls get married too?" And she said, "Yeah, that's kind of the normal way." These two women got up Friday morning and were kind of half listening to the TV news as they were making breakfast for their kids, and heard, you know, just sort of in passing that some county clerk somewhere was going to issue gay marriage licenses to same-sex couples. And they didn't even pay too much attention to it because this is kind of breaking out here and there around America. Listened again, and they heard that it was the county clerk in Sandoval County in Bernalillo, right where they live, 3 minutes from their home. So they raced down to the courthouse, and this couple who've lived together in faithful, loving union for 10 years got married. I don't think they're legally married. I don't think that marriage is going to stand up as a legal test. I don't think they'll be able to file a tax return as married filing jointly. And if one of them dies, I doubt that the other one will get the survivor benefits and Social Security that a heterosexual spouse would receive. But as far as they're concerned, they're married. And what was surprising to me was I said to them, this marriage is not legal, you know. I mean, you got a piece of paper, but it's probably not legal. In fact, the state attorney general in New Mexico has announced that the marriages done in Sandoval County that day are not legal. They said, we don't care. You know, we feel married, and we're putting this certificate on the wall that the government has recognized our right to be married. And the kids, you know, went to next door to the neighbors, and neighbors bought flowers for them and everything, and they're kind of celebrating a marriage. I have to say, regardless of what you think about same-sex marriage, and I don't know what I think, I have to say that particular family was a pretty lovely, loving, healthy, seemed to be pretty well-adjusted family to me when I visited them. I did ask the two moms if they have two sons. I said, don't these boys need a man in their life? Don't they need a father in their life? And they said, yeah, as a matter of fact, that's true. They do think that their kids miss that, and particularly as the boys start to get older. They're looking for male friends. One of the two wives in this marriage has a brother and a cousin with no kids who might want to sort of act as kind of fathers or uncles to these boys. So they do see that problem, and they're quite honest about it. They're not trying to gloss over it that no marriage needs this. But in terms of a loving, faithful, determined family eager to do the right thing and raise their kids well, they met the test as well as any family I know. In contrast, and they brought up this contrast, let's take a look at another marriage, the marriage of Britney Spears, which she was evidently drunk and got married to a friend of hers and woke up in the morning and realized this was ridiculous. And, of course, that was a perfectly legal marriage. It was registered. Our society recognizes and honors that marriage. She walked out on the guy about 4 hours later. I don't know what kind of a model that makes, but in terms of trying to protect marriage, which marriage should our society be trying to protect? Do we want to protect the Britney Spears spur of the night I was drunk marriage, which is legal and recognized in our society? Or should we show some kind of recognition, protection for Sonia Roth and Renee Pick, this loving couple in in New Mexico with their two kids who got married. It's an interesting question for me. It's the question we're going to try to struggle with this hour, and it would really help me if you would call me up and help me figure out which is right. And I think Joan in Fort Collins is going to do that for us. Hi, Joan. I'm sorry I kept you waiting.
Oh, that's okay. You know, I have had the privilege over the last couple of years of getting to know a lesbian couple.
Yes.
Who have been together for, well, almost 17 years now.
Really? Yeah.
And they have been through hell and back with each other.
Yeah.
Financially, emotionally, physically. And, you know, really, up until getting to know them, I don't know if I necessarily had an opinion about gay marriage.
Yes.
But I think once you get to know some of these couples who have been in a long-term relationship and weathered the storm, I think you understand that they are human beings who need to enjoy the same privileges and rights as quote-unquote normal people.
Yes, you know, I had the same reaction, and I know two guys in Denver who lived together for 25 years, really loving, decent guys. They have a summer home now out in the mountains and everything, and I genuinely feel that. I wonder if President Bush knows any same-sex couple.
If he does, I don't think he admits it.
You
know,
yeah.
Kind of like Mary Cheney. I doubt if she's been invited to White House dinners. You know, God bless her. It's really hard to grow up in a family that disapproves of you as a person, essentially.
Yes, that's right. And if you remember in the 2000 election, Liz Cheney was asked about her homosexual daughter, and she said, "What are you talking about?"
Right.
Just denied
exactly.
It. Yes.
You know, denial just ain't the name of a river.
Yes. You're right.
And, you know, I really think if people got to know some of these couples, and saw that, you know, I don't even look at my friends as two females. I just look at them as two human beings now. And I really appreciate the fact that I've gotten to know them and my children are getting to know them. And they conduct themselves with a great deal of civility and politeness. And frankly, they are a model in many respects for other unions. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. How come someone like Britney Spears get married? Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor, and
nine
that
times.
Is called, you know, a sanctified marriage. It's laughable.
Yes, and that's a legitimate, acknowledged marriage in our society. Which gets me to another question, Joan. You know, the effort, President Bush's effort, he's endorsed the amendment proposed by our Colorado congresswoman. She your congresswoman, Marilyn Musgrave? Is that your district?
Oh, don't call her mine. Yeah,
you know, I saw Marilyn Musgrave. You know, you got to give her points. She really believes in what she's doing. She's a sincere person. Maybe you disagree with her.
She is a true bigot. I would agree with you on that. She is a truly bigoted person through and through. So
I saw her asked one day if she knows any gay married couple. And she's kind of brushed it off like she wouldn't, you know, sully herself with such
right.
a connection. But I agree with you. If she could meet your friends, or they live in Fort Collins too?
No. Well, close enough to Fort Collins. They live in Wellington.
So they're probably her constituents.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And so wouldn't it be nice if she could meet them?
It would be. But, you know, if she did meet them, she wouldn't acknowledge them as gay people. She would just, again, denial just ain't the name of a river. She
yeah.
would just pretend that they aren't of that ilk.
Do your lesbian friends, this couple, do they have kids?
No, they don't. They chose not to have children.
And that's because they felt that the kids might need a man in the relationship?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, at that time, financially, you know, they would have to either go through adoption or the surrogate birth or the sperm donor or something like that. And that costs a lot of money.
Yes,
and,
right, yeah.
You know, I think that was certainly part of it. But, you know, not only my children, and they are two boys,
mm-hmm.
Go up to their home frequently, but so do other people's children. And they treat them all like basically, you know, their nephews and nieces. And frankly, if my kids get a good example of a beautiful, loving, respectful union, who am I to say it's wrong?
Boy, I feel that exactly. If they can see two people working through their problems and loving each other and helping each other, to me, that's what marriage is about. Although, I don't know, there's something in me that also says marriage is a man and a woman. I'm really torn on it, and that's why I've been asking people to call.
I do understand that. I do understand that. And like I said, until I really got to know this one couple, you know, really and truly, you can call it a civil union, but a rose is a rose by any other name. A civil union is going to be a marriage.
Well, my view is if we're going to do it, let's let them have all the rights that everybody else does. I mean, if my wife and I get to file a lower tax rate, so should they. I don't think it's fair that they pay more taxes than I do.
And, you know, I'm a practicing Roman Catholic.
Me too.
And I just, you know, again, you are to love all, and I don't see the sin in their relationship or homosexuals, because I don't think it, and I have talked to my friends about their lifestyle as opposed to being heterosexual.
Yeah.
And it was not a choice.
Yeah.
It was not a choice.
Yeah.
Not that they didn't try to be heterosexual.
Yes.
It didn't work out.
Because society was pushing them that way. Yeah.
Exactly. And it was, especially when they were growing up, it was even harder than it is for gay kids now, you know. So, you know, God love them. I hope that they decide to get married. I'll be there to support them.
Yes, I'm coming to feel that way, too. And it would be useful if Marilyn Musgrave and George W. Bush could meet your friends and see that they're regular people.
No, they're too wrapped up in what is the labels right and wrong.
That's an interesting way. That's a very interesting way to put it. Joan, thanks so much for calling. We got to stop and pay some bills, but stick around. We'll get some more calls and talk about this.
Thank you.
Bye. Tom Reed filling in for Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein. KNRC.
We have to talk.
I have a family. Then there's my job. 50, 60, sometimes 70 hours a week. My dog likes walks. Friends like to get together. I'm forgetting something. Oh, right, sleep. Gotta find time to do that at least once a week.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "Do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made of." The wealth management experts at First National Bank of Colorado know that your life is full. That's why we offer advisors who can help high net worth individuals manage their assets and have time left over to enjoy their lives.
It's such a relief to have a wealth management expert who can help me plan for the future.
For everything from asset management to investment services and more, the wealth management advisors at FNBC take the time to get to know you and understand your financial goals.
Now I get to spend more time with my family and friends. I get to walk an extra lap with the dog. And every now and then, I even get some sleep.
To secure your future, turn to the wealth management experts at First National Bank of Colorado. Call 303-308-3860.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
The Denver Nuggets are making a run towards the NBA playoffs, and it won't be easy. Saturday night, they head to San Antonio to take on the Spurs. KNRC has all the action for you starting at 6 o'clock. Mello, Andre, the Birdman, Nene, and Camby head down to Texas to meet Tim Duncan and the world champs. The Western Conference is heating up. NBA action with the Nuggets and Spurs Saturday night at 6, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC.
I'm Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are mixed at this hour, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 36 points. The NASDAQ is down 2.75. Encouraging news today on the nation's economic growth and on business activity in the Midwest. Brisk business spending gave the economy an unexpected boost in the fourth quarter. The gross domestic product grew at a healthy 4.1% annual rate, up from the original estimate and faster than expected. And the Chicago Purchasing Managers Index showed business activity in the Midwest expanded for a 10th straight month. Shares of Martha Stewart's company trading higher following a major decision by the judge in her trial. Judge Miriam Cedar
Linderbaum dismissed the most serious charge against Stewart, securities fraud, saying the evidence is too weak to support it. Closing arguments are scheduled to begin on Monday. And Coca-Cola has received grand jury subpoenas in federal fraud investigations. The SEC looking into whether the company violated securities laws. A former employee sued Coke, saying he was fired for reporting fraud and accounting irregularities. Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And I'd like to take a moment to thank both of the networks that gave us our start. Our friends at television, who supported us so well. And, of course, Open, the small business network from American Express, who gave us a line of credit with no collateral required.
The Open Network gives you the tools to make big things happen. When you have an American Express business card, to apply, call 1-800-605-OPEN.
Application subject to credit review. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
As important to Denver as the Rocky Mountains, if we do say so ourselves. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150, KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
You are listening to the Enid Goldstein on KNRC, but you're not listening to Enid Goldstein. It's T.R. Reid sitting in for Enid. As we said yesterday, Enid is such a stellar attraction on the afternoon talk show scene in Denver. I think it's safe to say that nobody could replace her, and I'm living proof of that because they got an absolute nobody in here to try to replace her today. That's me, Tom Reid. And so I need your help. We're working this out right now, trying to figure out the ins and outs, the goods and bads, the pluses and minuses of same-sex weddings or gay marriage, whatever you want to call it. It's an interesting issue for Colorado because the author of the proposed constitutional amendment that our president has now endorsed is Marilyn Musgraves, the congresswoman who represents about a quarter of our state in Congress. She's the author of that amendment. Some anti-gay marriage activists came to her like the first week she got to Congress in January of 2001. And said, will you sponsor this amendment? And she didn't even blink. She said, yeah, I'm yours. I'll do it. And she put in the amendment, and very, very few freshman members of Congress even put in a piece of legislation, even a bill that the president will endorse. Here, this woman has put in a constitutional amendment, and a few months later, the president of the United States is on board, and it's one of the bigger issues in American politics. It's quite an achievement for Marilyn Musgrave, and whether you agree with her or disagree with her, you got to give her some points for spotting an issue that was going to resonate and pushing it. It's been a great deal for Marilyn Musgrave. Of course, she totally believes in this, but beyond her personal religious and ethical beliefs, she's made a ton of money out of this. She has being the champion of this issue has made her a star on the conservative fundraising circuit, and believe me, I'm sure the Democrats will run a candidate up there in northeast Colorado, but nobody's going to touch Marilyn Musgrave. She's going to just run away with that race because she's got so much support, particularly from Christian right groups around the country. My question, and you could really help me work through this by calling us at 303-382-1150 here on 1150 KNRC, is I haven't been able to figure out yet what's wrong with same-sex marriages. I mean, if you were listening to Bill O'Reilly here on KNRC this morning, he's an extremely popular, articulate talk show host, a heck of a lot better than I am, God knows. And for him, it's a simple issue. He said, you know, gay marriage is a sin. It's a sin. Well, there's an answer. To me, that's just not an acceptable answer. In fact, I remember once a politician by the name of Dick Cheney, when he was a congressman from Wyoming, he's a pretty smart man, said to me once, you know, for every public issue, there's a simple, direct answer, and it's usually wrong because these public issues are more nuanced than that. The problem with saying it's a sin is, let's face it, notions of sin change over time, and it's not sure that we want to enshrine the 2004 notion of sin in the U.S. Constitution. For example, in 1967, it's not that long ago, a lot of you were alive in 1967. In 1967, when the Supreme Court finally said that states could not ban marriage between a white and a black. They could not ban interracial marriage. 70% of the American people in 1967 said that interracial marriage was a sin. 70% thought it was a sin. I bet you couldn't find 5% of the people in the United States today to tell you that it's wrong for a black man to marry a white, or for a, you know, an Indian to marry a German or something. And that was a pretty strongly held belief, what, 35 years ago in the United States. And today it's completely changed. I have a feeling that it's a sin. It's just not, it sounds like a final answer, but in our society, it's not a final answer. So here's the question. Somebody please articulate in a little better, little more explicit terms, what's wrong with same-sex marriage, other than it's a sin, because conceptions of sin change fairly quickly over time. If you take a look at Vice President Cheney, whom I just mentioned, as recently as 5 months ago, he didn't find same-sex marriage to be a sin. He thought if some state wanted to legalize it, that was fine with him, and he said so. Now that his president has decided there should be a constitutional amendment, Dick Cheney is saying, well, it's a sin. In other words, concepts of sin can change overnight, so I don't think that's a good argument. But let's see how we feel out there. I think Kevin is calling. Hi, Kevin. Sorry I kept you waiting.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, hi. We're here. Hello.
Oh, is this Tom?
Yeah, this is Tom. Yeah, hi.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear the show. I was listening to the radio. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I think I can tell you what it is that people believe is wrong with same-sex marriages, although I don't believe that they actually realize this. But
okay, let's articulate it. What would be the argument?
Well, it's kind of complicated, but it's a very simple argument, and I think all of us can understand it
okay.
from the lesson we learned as children. Do you remember the Dr. Seuss story about the star-bellied Smeeches?
Vaguely, yeah.
Well, the Smeeches, you know, they were these Dr. Seuss-like creatures, and they lived on some island or something, and
yeah.
Some Seuss character came along with a machine that would let the Smeeches go in and get stars put on their bellies. And the ones with the stars put on their bellies, of course, were better than the ones without. And we were learning a simple childhood lesson about prejudice and that sort of thing. Well, I think that the problem is that people who oppose gay marriage, they believe that it's similar to allowing these gay couples to have stars put on their bellies, just like the ones they think they have. And
oh,
it brings them down to the same level where now we're all just human, and they lose their exalted position in the Lord's realm that they're so fond of. And I think that really scares them.
So you're saying the argument is we think heterosexuals are better than homosexuals, even if we're not saying homosexuals are evil. We think heterosexuals are evil, are better,
yes,
and letting them marry would make them our equals.
Yeah, it's simple prejudice and discrimination. We saw the same thing when in the civil rights movement. These people are not willing to admit that they harbor a deep-rooted prejudice and feeling of superiority over other people. And so they will not allow those people to have the same rights that they have, because if they did, that would...
Yeah, I hear you, Kevin. I think we've lost Kevin, but in any case, his argument is that the opposition to same-sex marriage is fundamentally rooted in discrimination, in animus, in hate. The people don't like gays, they think they're doing something evil just by being gay, and therefore they shouldn't be entitled to the legal benefits like marriage. Could be, and there probably are some people who feel that way. I think that's a little too harsh on the Marilyn Musgrave side. I think there must be, because, you know, in my church there are people who are against us who are decent, not hateful people. There must be a more articulate argument, and I'm looking for it. I've noticed that President Bush, interestingly today, was asked about same-sex marriage. This is the problem if you're the president and you take on one of these divisive social issues. He has the Chancellor of Germany, Gerhard Schroeder, a man that he wasn't even speaking to for about a year, in the White House, and has a joint press conference. Wants to talk about U.S.-European relations. Wants to talk about Germany. Wants to talk about Iraq. And, of course, the reporters ask him about same-sex marriage. Well, and the president was miffed about it. He didn't like that coming up with the Chancellor of Germany, but it's his fault. He's the one who brought up this topic. So, and he said, President Bush said, well, I think marriage has served society well. And then you could see he sort of caught himself, and he said, well, I mean, marriage between a man and a woman, because, yeah, marriage serves society well, but the question is, why wouldn't marriage between two men serve society well? If two people are in love and want to form a lifetime faithful relationship, why wouldn't that marriage serve as well? And I'd like to, we're looking for the explanation. Here's Jennifer on a calling from Denver, I think. Hi, Jennifer. Sorry I kept you waiting.
Hi.
Hi. So what do you think about this issue?
Well, I'm not against it by any stretch of the imagination, but
yeah.
I've just been listening to a bunch of different people, and one of the points, I think one of the reasons is not reason at all. I think that the people that are against it, the right, whatever, are just grabbing for straws, coming up with different things that they think sound good as a reason why it shouldn't happen, when in actuality, I don't think any of them could possibly truly believe in any of these because they're so ridiculous. Like Bill O'Reilly was saying that if you do this, then not only are you going to have to start marrying pigs to rocks, but in 10 years you're going to have a gay prom, and you're going to have to worry about little boys in fourth grade locker rooms getting it on, and literally saying all these things. And
yeah, and I agree with you. That's a reductio ad absurdum. That's a ridiculous argument.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I seem to remember a few months ago that Bill O'Reilly didn't seem so strongly on it. So I was like appalled the other day when I heard him say that the biggest concern was that if you make homosexual marriage okay, then all that does is show that homosexuality is okay. And it's really hard for people that are homosexual during their adolescent years to hide it or to try to see how they can come out of the closet because it's not the norm.
Yes.
And I think that getting gay marriage legalized would be legalized. It sounds so crazy. Would be perfect because all those kids and young adults that are struggling because it's not okay and it's not accepted, and the suicides and the drugs and the depression would go down so much if something like gay marriage was okay. That would show that it would show more to these kids that if you are homosexual and you're an adolescent, that that's okay too.
Thanks, Jennifer.
It's not a big deal.
We got the other people calling. Please hang on. We're going to stop and have news with Tim McLaughlin on KNRC, but we'll be back on this topic. Hang on, please.
Thanks, TR. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 58 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Sky Ridge Medical Center. It's expected that a special prosecutor will be appointed to investigate the sex scandal at the University of Colorado. Governor Bill Owens and Colorado State Attorney General Ken Salazar will hold a joint news conference this afternoon to announce significant steps regarding the situation at CU. Another man has been arrested in connection with the Kobe Bryant case. 37-year-old Cedric Augustine of Long Beach, California, is in custody in Los Angeles, charged with threatening to kill the prosecutor in Bryant's rape case and allegedly threatening to blow up the Eagle courtroom where the trial is being held. 96-year-old Dr. Gatewood Milligan has succumbed to the injuries he suffered in a fire at his Englewood home on Monday night. Milligan, who died at Swedish Medical Center, was a well-known obstetrician who delivered more than 4,000 babies during his career. His 93-year-old wife, Maxine, died in that fire. Sky Ridge Medical Center's Free Family Festival is February 28th from 10 to 3. Food, fun, health info, maternity and kids fashion show, and Miles, the Broncos mascot. I-25 in Lincoln, south of Park Meadows. Traffic in your exclusive Weather Channel forecaster up next. KNRC News Time is 12:38.
More In It Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapaho Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Napoleon.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Napoleon.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
KNRC News time is 12:39. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Post News Jobs, and a couple problems in the cleanup stages. Eastbound C-470 at Santa Fe, actually on Santa Fe, sounds like three cars involved. Tractor-trailer was involved in accidents. Outbound 225 at Yosemite, that should be out of there as well, so getting back to normal around the metro area. Ball Aerospace, a leader in the aerospace and defense industries, looking for engineers. Apply today at upballaerospace.com for more details. See the Sunday Denver Post or visit postnewsjobs.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Doug Kellett afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. One more pleasantly mild day today before our temperatures take a nosedive and a little snow and rain moves in. It'll be partly cloudy through the afternoon with a high near 60, fair this evening, and then cloudy later tonight with a low around 30. Some scattered afternoon rain showers expected on Saturday that should switch over to snow after midnight, and with spotty snow showers on Sunday, a high only around 35. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 58 degrees. KNRC News time is 12:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live. Can we talk about your beauty salon? Are you sick of paying high prices, dealing with snooty people, and searching endlessly for parking?
We can solve your problem. Try Salon Mercedes, conveniently located at I-25 in Orchard. You'll feel at home with the friendly staff. I know I do. Enjoy plenty of free parking, reasonable prices, and unlike many salons, Salon Mercedes is open Mondays. Call 303-741-0606 for an appointment.
Their highly trained, experienced staff always gives great service. Salon Mercedes is the only Denver salon designated elite by Creative Nails Design, the top nail care company in the country.
Hairstylists use the best color line from Europe. The salon carries Bumble and Bumble and Pureology hair products and the Yonka Paris skincare line.
Salon Mercedes, located at I-25 in Orchard. Open Mondays through Fridays, 8 to 7, Saturdays, 8 to 5:30. Gift certificates available, 303-741-0606.
Salon Mercedes, so close to you.
Recently, Jimmy Lakey was spotted in the People's Republic of Boulder. Where will he be next? Where will we send Enid? How about Doug? The one Denver radio station that doesn't stay in the studio for the newsmakers to come to them. We go where the newsmakers are. AM 1150, KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, everybody. It's T.R. Reid on the Enid Goldstein Show, filling in for Enid today. We've been talking about a statement President Bush made this morning. Marriage has served society well, which I'd say is about as true a truism as you can get. But the question, which the president had to come back to, is whether the marriage that has served society well has to be between a man or a woman. This is what we've been dealing with. Trey has been waiting some time. Trey, I'm sorry I kept you waiting. Hello.
How are you?
Fine. How do you feel about this?
Well, actually, I have two questions. I would suggest that you revise your questions about opposing gay amendments. The first question I would ask is, how is your arguments against gay amendments or gay marriages any different than arguments used against previous civil rights movements?
Yes.
And the second would be, you know, I think a lot of people are against and believe that being gay is simply a matter of behavioral choice, in spite of increasing evidence that it's hardwired at birth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe that someone is born into the person they are, where does the equal protection statutes of the Constitution enter this? You know, you don't discriminate someone because of their race, their color, sometimes not their creed. Well, why would you discriminate someone against the way they're born in terms of their sexual orientation?
Yeah, I think, Trey, that's sort of a fundamental rule of American law. It was set forth very clearly by a personal hero of mine, Harlan Fiske Stone. He was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in the 40s. And he said that the fundamental rule is we're not going to discriminate against you on the basis of something you can't change. If you happen to be born black, that's not up to you, and the United States is not going to treat you differently because you couldn't change it. If you rob a bank, we can throw you in jail because you could have prevented that. And what you're arguing is that this sexual orientation is something people can't change.
Yeah, I'll say there's going to be increasing evidence of that over time. And the problem with that, of course, is there's also a lot of research that shows that people hold fundamental superstitions or religious beliefs. The more evidence that there is against those beliefs, the more they hold to them. remarkably.
Yeah.
Just one other comment. I attended a gay wedding about 8 years ago in Tampa, Florida,
yeah,
at a community church, and there's over 300 people in attendance from all walks of life, including the grandchildren of the people getting married. And it was a remarkable, so three generations of people, including the brides. And it was a very nonchalant affair. They wanted to have a witness of their community and before God. And it accomplished that. And that was the day before it was a controversy. And I can't help but think of
let me ask you about that couple, Trey. They had children and grandchildren. Are you saying that they managed to suppress their kind of inborn homosexual tendencies long enough to be married and have children?
You know, I couldn't speak to the particulars, to say that they both clearly loved each other and found the relationship between them each other. And I'm one to think that probably in their life they did have to sort that out. And, of course, they're old enough that the pressures against, you know, exhibiting one's true self would have been severe.
Yes. You know, I knew in the 70s, I knew a mixed-race couple, and particularly the white woman told me that, you know, she did feel guilty when she married this man she loved. She every once in a while felt she was a sinner for doing it. And it's certainly true. As late as 1970, a lot of people in America thought interracial marriage was a sin.
Hey, just one more comment about this wedding. There was a moment during it where they lit a candle because there was a couple people who notably were not present, and they weren't present because of the fact that it was a gay couple getting married.
Oh, no.
And they lit a candle for them and asked the entire congregation to stand and offer them thoughts to help them get over that barrier in their life from
their animus.
Celebrating that
yes.
moment.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting. Well, this gets to a point we've been making on this show. If the opponents of gay marriage met a gay couple, do you think it would change their mind?
Oh, only to the extent that they open themselves to meeting someone.
Yeah.
I see this clearly as an issue of civil rights and bigotry and biases. And I think some are subtle. I don't think people are openly knowledgeably bigoted, but the effect may be the same. And I have a friend, for example, who I really like to get along with, who is this adamantly against gay relationships. And we've talked about it, and he has no reason other than a visceral response to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he recognizes that. And,
yeah.
And I wonder how many people out there, if they're honest with themselves, would function at that level.
Yeah, and what I'm trying to say here is, and I think you are too, if you are going to be against it, you need something other than a visceral dislike or even it's a sin because concepts of sin change. So... Trey, thank you so much for calling us.
Sure, thanks.
Thanks. Joe, I screwed up. God, I always do this. Joe was calling us. Joe, please call us back because I, of course, hit the wrong button because I'm such a dolt. I'd just like to point out that one of the strong arguments made by Marilyn Musgrave and President Bush and others opposing gay marriage and pushing the constitutional amendment is the argument that activist judges are forcing this on people against their will. And if that were true, if a few judges flying in the face of public opinion in the United States were forcing this on people, I could see the argument. But the problem with activist judges is most of the gay marriages in America have been done by a popularly elected mayor in San Francisco who told the people in the election what he was going to do. In fact, the activist judges in California are the ones who are going to try to stop this popularly elected official from doing this. So I don't know about that argument. The Massachusetts state legislature is considering it. So I guess you could say a judge led them to consider it, but that's being done by the people. In Sandoval County, New Mexico, it was a popularly elected county clerk, not a judge, who stopped gay marriages. So I'm not sure that activist judges is a legitimate argument. Let's see what Joe in Littleton has to say, if I can hit the right button for a change. Hi, Joe. Gee, I'm so sorry I cut you off.
Well, that's okay. I thought maybe it was my cell phone.
No, it's me. I'm such a clod in this studio.
Well, otherwise, you're doing a really good job.
You're my guy. Thanks.
First of all, I'm a registered Democrat, and I'm liberal on probably 90% of issues.
Yes.
So I'm kind of an anomaly. But, I do support Bush on this. Coming up front, I mean, you asked for the rationale behind.
That's what I'm looking for.
Sure. Well, I mean, I don't know if this is going to be that helpful. Coming from a Judeo-Christian background, like, dude, I mean, if you really honestly look at it, the only times that marriage is really talked about, both in the Old and New Testaments, it's in the context of a man and a woman, and it emphasizes the difference between a man and a woman and their coming together, kind of a unity in difference, if you know what I mean. I mean,
yes.
We have two, you know, anatomically different, mutually complementary creatures, if you just look at it from a biological and natural point of view.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, okay.
So, the only time Christ talked about marriage in depth, he referred specifically to the Old Testament, talking about a man shall leave his parents and a woman shall leave their parents and the two shall become, you know, one flesh, etc. So that's really, I think, you know, a lot of the basis is just that we don't have, you know, that's, and the remarkable thing is that even non-Christian cultures, non-Judeo-Christian cultures, that's pretty universally held to also. So it seems to me there's something there.
You're suggesting that because it's been the norm for so many millennia and because it's enshrined in so many religions, there's got to be something right about it.
Yeah, that's sort of it.
I see that argument. I definitely see that.
Yeah, I disagree with you a little bit that notions of sin change overnight. I mean, they do change overnight, I think. And, you know, to liken it to the mixed race, to liken gay marriage to about, you know, the mixed racial marriage.
Yes.
I mean, that's a good point. I think, basically what's happened is that religion and tradition have, in the past, in the very recent past, been used to justify, racism and racist, you know, notions like not allowing mixed race marriages. The fact that's true doesn't, you know, and religion is capable of being misused. I mean, that's clear.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we should discard all notions of religion now. Say, well, you know, religion sanctioned this prejudice in the past, which is clearly wrong. Therefore, you know, this current prejudice must also be wrong also.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yes. Yeah. Religion can be right, too, even if people used it for things we now think are wrong in the past.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that was a particular, the religion that was used to discriminate against mixed-race marriages wasn't universally, I mean, I don't think there's anything in Catholic tradition, for example, which is where I'm coming from, that ever taught that. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I think that was a particular, you know, sect or part of American Protestantism that got really.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm Catholic, and I don't remember my church talking about that either. Joe, thanks so much for calling. We got to stop and pay some bills for a minute. I just want to say to the other callers out there, we definitely want to hear you. So if you don't mind, please hang on. It's 11:50 a.m. KNRC. And
Libs lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hater.
Ignoramus.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Imagine calling the UK for 6 cents a minute or Mexico for 9 cents a minute. All from your wireless phone. Introducing enhanced discounted international dialing only from AT&T Wireless. Sign up now for $3.99 a month on qualified plans and you can call to over 30 countries at the lowest rates of any national wireless carrier. Just call 1-866-REACH-OUT or visit attwireless.com today.
Reach out on the wireless service America trusts, AT&T Wireless.
Countries and rates may change. Airtime and roaming charges and mobile surcharge may apply in addition to international calling rates. Geographic limitations, special credit and billing requirements, device compatibility and other restrictions apply.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Create a little history today and volunteer with the Colorado Historical Society. The Colorado Historical Society is seeking volunteers to work 8 hours a month in the museum store or at the admissions desk. Various shifts and times are available and training is provided. The Colorado History Museum is located in downtown Denver at 13th and Broadway. And for more information, call 303-866-3961 or log on to coloradohistory.org.
Introducing new Albertsons Blue Ribbon Beef. This week, pick up a delicious cut of Blue Ribbon boneless round steaks. Buy one package, get the second of equal or lesser value free. Albertsons, helping make your life easier.
when you need to know.
I know.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
There's only one place to go.
Yeah, I know.
I do.
I do, too.
Get in the know.
It's what I need to know.
Information you need to know on AM 1150 KNRC. People are talking about AM 1150 KNRC.
It's a busy world, and none of us has a lot of time, especially me.
The station you can depend on.
They're going to give me all the headlines that's going on around the country, around the globe. That's why we use this station.
AM 1150 KNRC. Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Doug Kellett, weekdays at 3.
It's here at last.
He's daring.
He's dashing.
He's dangerous.
He's beautiful.
He's Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Well, we're back to the Enid Goldstein Show, but not to Enid Goldstein. It's T.R. Reid filling in for Enid. We've been talking to people, and a lot of people want to talk about it, about this question of who should be allowed to get married in the United States. Rod in Monument has been waiting some time. Rod, sorry I kept you waiting.
Hi, T.R.
So you can hear our station in Monument, can you?
Yeah, it's a bit fuzzy at times, but... Yeah.
Are you north of the hill or south?
Pardon me?
Are you north of Monument Hill or south of it?
I'm right on top.
Right, well, no wonder.
Yeah.
It's cheating.
And you're doing a fabulous job.
You're my guy.
I enjoy listening to you.
Thanks. So what do you think?
Well, you know, if you look at Christ's ministry and his teachings, he... really pointed out that the letter killeth and the spirit giveth life. He was not a Bible thumper.
Yes.
He was a fellow that was able to go beyond his tradition. And if you look at the old scriptures, it was an abomination to touch the hide of a swine.
Yes, right, yeah.
So... He was a man that was able to think beyond his tradition, which I think most Christians today are exactly what he would be probably trying to bring them out of.
Yes, I hear what you're saying. Of course, you know, in some ways it's easier, particularly if the question is tough. If you can find what looks to you to be a clear no, then you don't have to think about it.
Exactly. It really is a form of laziness.
The problem is, the Bible is not that clear. I mean, certainly the abolitionists argued that the Bible demanded abolition, and the slavers argued that slavery was enshrined in the Bible, which it is. It clearly says in the Old Testament, don't kill the people you defeat, take them and make them your slaves.
Exactly. But, he also says there's one point where he talks about neither male nor female shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Neither Jew nor Gentile.
Oh,
I think he's pointing that we need to look beyond the surfaces.
Oh, I see.
We need to look to the essence of a human being.
Yeah, don't look for some literal rule, which they're kind of vague anyway.
Well, I mean, male and female is what we appear to be on the surface.
Yes.
He's saying we've got to go beyond the surface. We've got to look into the depths, into the soul of a human being.
Oh, that's really, that's a very good insight. And therefore, this conceptions of what's right and wrong can change over time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And if God is love, then this thing called love is what we should all be looking for. We should all be searching for this thing called love. And it's beyond male and female. It's beyond Jew and Gentile.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So love shouldn't worry about color, race, creed, or gender, is what you're saying.
Yes. I think you're getting my point.
Love is blind, as the producers say.
Yeah, I guess exactly. You could say that.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks very much, Rod.
You're welcome.
Keep listening up on your hill there.
Yeah, bye-bye.
We have just a second to talk to Dan in Denver. Dan, sorry I kept you waiting.
Oh, that's okay. Just so everybody knows, marriage licenses didn't come into being until 1840 or thereabouts.
Yes.
And George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, all those noted philanderers, didn't have marriage licenses.
Yeah.
They were married in the church. And that's where marriage needed to be. the state should be issuing civil unions. They should not be in marriages at all, in the marriage business at all. The only reason they got involved in 1840 was they wanted to discriminate against the Mormons.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that probably makes sense. Dan, hang on. We gotta stop and cut to the news on KNRC, but we'll continue this discussion at the other half of the hour. Please stay tuned to 1150 AM KNRC Denver.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC Inglewood Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 58 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Post News Jobs. It looks like a special prosecutor may be appointed to look into the sex scandal at the University of Colorado. Governor Bill Owens and Colorado Attorney General Ken Salazar have scheduled a joint news conference for 2:30 this afternoon to announce significant steps being taken regarding the situation at CU Boulder. Six women have accused CU football players of sexual assault, and there have been allegations that the football program has used sex and alcohol to recruit players. Swedish Medical Center has announced that 96-year-old Dr. Gatewood Milligan has died from the injuries he suffered in a fire at his home in Englewood on Monday night. The fire also killed his 93-year-old wife, Maxine. Dr. Milligan was a well-known obstetrician who delivered more than 4,000 babies during his career. A California man is in custody in Los Angeles, charged with threatening to kill the prosecutor in the Kobe Bryant sexual assault case. The suspect, identified as 37-year-old Cedric Augustine of Long Beach, has also allegedly threatened to blow up the courtroom in the town of Eagle, the site of that high-profile trial. Augustine was arrested yesterday. He's scheduled to appear in federal court in Los Angeles today. U.S. Attorney John Southers has issued a statement saying the threats were blatant attempts to influence and impede the prosecution of a criminal case. He added the threats are of a menacing nature and were taken seriously by the victims, necessitating prosecution of the alleged perpetrator. Bryant is accused of raping a 19-year-old woman at an Eagle resort last June. He insists the sex was consensual. No date yet set for the trial, but there's another in a series of pretrial hearings that's set to start on Monday in Eagle. The judge in the Martha Stewart trial today dismissed the most serious charge against her. Judge Miriam Goldman Cederbaum decided the prosecution did not present enough evidence to submit the securities fraud charge to the jury. That count could have landed Stewart in prison for up to 10 years. If convicted, Stewart still faces charges of lying to investigators, looking into the sale of her ImClone stock, perjury, and obstructing justice. Closing arguments are scheduled for the beginning of next week. The jury is expected to get the case on Wednesday. Two reports released today reveal the depth of the Catholic priest sex abuse scandal. The statistical study by the John Jay College of Criminal Justice found nearly 11,000 children were allegedly abused by more than 4,000 priests during the 50-year study period. The president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, Wilton Gregory, said the report was groundbreaking and restated a formal apology to victims. Robert Bennett with the conference's National Review Board says the board is encouraging the church to continue working to correct the problem and improve how the church prepares men for the priesthood. Homosexual couples are tying the knot in New York State for the first time in history. Reporter Scott Salato has a report from New Paltz, where the mayor has presided over marriage ceremonies for about a dozen gay couples.
It's history in the Hudson Valley.
And by the power vested in me by the state of New York, I now declare you legally wed.
And with that, William von Rosenberg and his partner became the first same-sex couple to say I do in New York.
I'm very proud, actually, that I had the opportunity to do this with my partner of 6 years, someone I'm very, very, very devoted to and proud of.
William's new husband, Jeff McGowan, says he's not concerned by the lack of a state-issued marriage license.
Well, we don't need one. We are solemnized.
A few protesters here, but most came to support. Scott Salato, New Paltz, New York.
A group of Marines and three warships may be headed for Haiti. The Pentagon is considering the option, which would have the troops assisting with the Haitian crisis. An amphibious assault ship, the USS Saipan, is on standby for possible deployment. The Virginia-based ship would pick up Marines from North Carolina before heading for the Caribbean island. The Saipan can carry up to 35 helicopters, seven other types of aircraft, and a crew of more than 1,800 troops. On Wall Street, stocks were mixed heading into the last hour of today's trading session. The Dow was up nearly 37 points, the NASDAQ down about a point a third, and the S&P 500 up over 3 points. In sports, the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche both off tonight, but they both have road trips tomorrow. Nuggets will take on the Spurs in San Antonio, while the Avs will be in Columbus to play the Blue Jackets. Colorado Crush have a game tonight at the Pepsi Center against the Austin Wranglers. Crush are 2-1 this season. Denver Broncos linebacker Al Wilson has signed a 7-year, $42 million deal with the Denver Broncos. Wilson says he's glad there is no more uncertainty about his future with the team.
When it came down to the final decision and we could finally get something done, it took like 1,000 pounds of pressure off my back, so I'm definitely happy to be a Denver Bronco again.
The deal comes at the same time the Broncos are looking to trade Clinton Portis to the Washington Redskins in exchange for cornerback Champ Bailey. Ball Aerospace, a leader in the aerospace and defense industry, is looking for engineers. Apply today at BallAerospace.com. For more details, see the Sunday Denver Post or visit PostNewsJobs.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
If it weren't for George Bush and John Kerry, Michael Jackson and Kobe Bryant, what would we have to talk about?
Bugging just get you into trouble.
Don't worry, we're on it. Hear the Who Does What next on Denver's AM 1150, KNRC.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music filled before you. Horacio Gutierrez joins the Colorado Symphony Orchestra on February 27th, 28th, and 29th to perform Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 1. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to check the roads with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Sky Ridge Medical Center, and got the accident out of the way at Santa Fe and E-470. Good news. Still got paving operations in Leedsdale either direction between Mississippi and Holly, as well as on Santa Fe between Alameda and Mississippi. Sky Ridge Medical Center's Free Family Festival is February 28th from 10 to 3. Food fun, health info, maternity and kids fashion show, and Miles, the Denver Bronco mascot, I-25 in Lincoln, south of Park Meadows. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear the Radio Factor with Bill O'Reilly weekday mornings at 10 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We'll be back in the heavier coats as the temperatures plummet over the next couple of days. With a very pleasant mix of sun and clouds this afternoon, we'll top out close to 60 for the high, and our overnight low will be down to 30 later tonight. Now, by tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy, some scattered afternoon showers, a high near 50. That should switch over to a little spotty snow after midnight, and on Sunday, some scattered snow showers with a high around 35. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 56 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
Here's not Enid. Here's T.R.E. sitting in for Enid. As Tim McLaughlin just said, we'll have the next news at 1:35 on KNRC, assuming that I manage to hit the right button at the right time, and I usually screw that up because I'm no good at talk radio. It's going to be 60 degrees today, a beautiful spring-like February day in Denver, and that's appropriate because we're discussing a very spring-like, springy subject, marriage and the institution of marriage. Who ought to be entitled to that institution? What does it mean? Eddie in Englewood has been waiting. Hi, Eddie. Sorry I kept you waiting so long.
No, that's all right. I always find this an interesting discussion, but I do have problems, I guess, with part of your logic. I picked up your conversation when you were talking about how the mayor was popularly elected in San Francisco, and therefore everybody knew what he was going to do. And I, you know, we have popularly elected people all across the country, but that doesn't mean one day they wake up and decide to go outside the legal system and create law.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, there's a way to change the law in marriage.
The same with your constitutional argument. You know, for 200 years that Constitution's been in effect, and all of a sudden three liberal judges decide to create law. And, you know, My argument with this whole thing,
yes,
if you want to go out and run on the platform of let's allow gays to marriage and run up that on your party platform and go out and get people elected on that basis, more power to you.
Yes.
That's how the system is supposed to work.
Yes.
But it's when you try to enforce two or three, in my opinion, nutcases opinion across the rest of the country, that's when you have problems.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I think it's clear that the mayor of San Francisco is violating California law by doing this.
Well, I think there's somebody out in New Mexico as well, and you know, all of a sudden Bush is being called, you know, divisive and creating, you know, a culture war because he's responding to what he has to respond to, because this has been voiced upon him by, again, in my opinion, liberal activist judges. That's what they are.
Well, but as I said, it wasn't a judge in Sandoval County, New Mexico.
No, once it happened in Massachusetts, then everybody, you know, court recorder or whatever comes out and they decide one day they want to do it. That's not how our legal system is based. You just don't wake up some morning and decide to, you know, create your own set of rules.
Yeah, I hear that, but to me, activist judges is kind of a, it's a political argument, and I'm not sure it's... Well, let me ask you this question. What do you think about the five judges who put a man in the White House even though 500,000 Americans, more Americans, voted for the other guy? Was that activist judges or...?
Well, I don't quite see the connection there.
You
but,
don't? Yeah, okay.
You know, I think that was a state's issues right, and you know, that's a whole other discussion. But,
got it. I hear you.
You know, the same thing happened in the case of abortion. And I think one of the reasons that's such a divisive issue is that, once again, that was never decided in the legal realm. It was decided by a couple judges one day who decided to interpret the Constitution to give that as a right. And that, you know, initial right has been interpreted now to mean if you want to crush the skull of a baby in the ninth month, I guess that's okay, which never, I can't imagine, ever would have been approved had that been the case before the court at the time. But that's how it went. And all these people who are saying, well, you can't just say man and two women or man and boy or whatever, I mean, that's how you, that's the path you start down when you start deviating from what has been in place for thousands of years. A man and a woman constitute marriage for the purpose of procreation.
Yes. So you're saying the fact that a few, it doesn't matter whether it's a mayor or a judge, a few people here and there are now marrying gay people does justify amending the U.S. Constitution to prevent it from
happening. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. And
Eddie, does it bother you any that two, you know, loving women who are living together for 10 years can't get the marital tax break even though they're doing everything else the same way?
I think all of those issues are straw dogs. You know, you hear all this, they can't visit you in the hospital. Anybody going into the hospital can sign a patient release to allow anybody they want to come in there. You can leave your money to anybody you want. All, you know, if you want to fix the tax code so that married and unmarried people are treated separately, fine. But those are straw dogs that they're throwing up, as though those rights couldn't be made available if they actually set their will up accordingly or...
Well, some of them you'd have to change the tax law, but that would be okay with you.
Well, I do not agree, even in civil unions, that that's an answer. Once you start weakening that it's like marriage light. I mean, if you take a look at what's happened in France, they put a civil union in place for homosexuals, and now you find heterosexual couples taking advantage of it so that they don't have the commitment that they have in the past, and it's creating all kinds of social problems.
Well, it's true that France does have this civil arrangement, which is not a full marriage. But, you know, if you look at those couples over the years, when they do get married, they have far fewer divorces than American couples do. I think maybe France has an interesting idea there.
Well,
yeah, you know.
You'd have to,
I haven't sold you.
I think there's been a pretty good plan in place for thousands of years, and it's a natural order of things, and it's to redefine it so that we make some people feel better. You know, I just don't buy it.
Okay, thank you, Eddie. It's a good argument. We've been looking for it. Let's talk to Jason. Hi, Jason.
Yeah, how you doing?
Sorry, I kept you waiting. So tell us what you think about this.
Well, I'm worried about your last caller. He contradicted himself about, I don't know, 20 times. I can't even
but he knows what he thinks. You know, he's clear. I mean,
well, yeah, he's clear, but he's way off base.
Okay.
You know, I think that the Christian right, or the Christian Taliban, as I call them, their goal is to decrease the amount of homosexuality and probably the sex that goes along with it. And if they were thinking right, they would allow them to get married, gays to get married, because we all know that sex decreases after you do get married.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Know? I mean, you know, if you want to eliminate homosexual sex, let them get married. So, at any rate, but...
Yeah, anyway, they're not going to be promiscuous, presumably, if they get married, so...
Yeah, no. but in terms of a constitutional amendment to discriminate against people, that's completely... against everything that this country was supposedly founded on. And if those people want to exercise their religion like they want to, maybe they need to convert to you know, being a Muslim and go live in Iran. Then they could have a theology.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, Jason. And I have to say, each caller kind of pulls me back. I just can't decide where I stand on this. It does seem to me that homosexual Americans should have the same legal rights as heterosexual Americans, and it's...
All American citizens should have that right. You know, and I take it a step further. They are right. I think that, that you know, by allowing that type of marriage, that it would open the door to other types of marriage. And I don't see any kind of a problem with a woman who wants to marry four guys or whatever. That just doesn't strike me as anything that I'm going to worry about.
Well, you're ahead of the social curve, I'll say that. But
probably.
probably in the 1960s, you would have supported interracial marriage at a time when most Americans thought that was sinful.
Yeah, well, you know, that doesn't bother me either.
Right.
You know, I mean, everybody's got a right to be happy and to pursue, you know, liberty and happiness and all that stuff that we talk about, but nobody wants to, you know, to really actively engage, so.
I hear you. Thank you, Jason. Thanks for the call.
Have a good day.
Yep, thank you. Let's talk to Steve in Castle Pines. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
You were talking with the caller before the last one about the mayor of San Francisco and how he's violating the law of California. And, I disagree.
And
here's the thing. In all of these cases, we've got people who perceive contradictions in law.
Yes.
In California, the mayor perceives that there is a contradiction between state law and the state constitution. And, you know, how are all these things tested? You know, when Rosa Parks, you know, sat in the wrong seat in the bus, she was violating the state law.
Yes.
But she perceived that she was not violating, or that the state law itself was violating the constitution. That's how these laws get tested. Is somebody breaks, you know, one piece of what is perceived as contradictory law.
I hear you. Yeah.
And you know, in this case, you know, who knows how it's going to turn out. But, you know, I think most of your callers are they say they don't have any problem with these people being together. But I have yet to hear anybody show me how a homosexual marriage can cause a heterosexual marriage to be devalued. Have you ever heard an argument to that effect?
I'm looking for that argument. As you know, the amendment that Marilyn Musgrave proposed and President Bush has endorsed is called the, quote, Protection of Marriage Amendment. And the argument is if two gay men that we've never met or heard of in Vermont get married, that somehow that undermines my straight marriage. I don't understand the logic there. Maybe some callers can help us with this one, because I'm looking for the logic. I've asked tried to see if Marilyn Musgrave had an argument. She just thinks it's wrong, so she doesn't really need to go into the argument. But give us a call at 303-382-1150 if you can articulate, or maybe either what's right or what's wrong with this suggestion that homosexual marriage endangers heterosexual marriage. Let's talk to Nathan in Denver. Hi, Nathan. Sorry I kept you waiting.
That's quite all right, T.R. How are you doing today?
Fine, thank you.
Great. I guess I'm calling because I am opposed to amending the Constitution to withdraw rights from Americans for whatever reason.
Yes.
And listening to your last call, I guess I haven't really heard any of the same argument either about how gay marriages would detract from heterosexual marriages. Homosexuals do everything in this country that everyone else does. We pay taxes, we take care of our children. We do any number of things that you can name.
Well, you know, you pay more taxes than a married heterosexual couple because you don't get the marital tax lower rate.
Oh, this is true. And I guess one of the things I don't really understand about Marilyn Musgrave is that she just simply says it's wrong. And is she saying it's wrong because she's religiously motivated?
Yes, I believe it's religious principle in her view.
Okay, well, whatever happened to the separation of church and state?
It's an interesting question. Why should some government bureaucrat decide who you get to marry?
Exactly. I agree.
It's about as personal and private a decision as any American will ever make.
Yeah. You know, I guess I could be a little bit more of an activist in this whole situation, and sometimes I take a little bit more...
Do you feel you should be?
Well, I probably should be to an extent, and I know that there's a lot of fighting going on about this subject today, and it's just like in the other civil rights movement that's happened, and eventually things will eventually have breakthroughs, and people get the rights that they want and deserve.
You know, it's interesting. I mentioned earlier, in my job as a reporter for the Washington Post, I went down to New Mexico last weekend when the county clerk in Sandoval County agreed to marry gay couples, and I met this very decent, soft-spoken pair, a couple of women who have two kids. They're quiet. They live out in the woods. They don't hold us up against anybody, and they got married and really don't bother their neighbors. They leave everybody alone, and they felt guilty, I guess in the same way you did, that they weren't out fighting more, but they didn't. They just wanted to have a quiet life back in the woods where they live and be married. And but you sometimes feel too you ought to get out there and be active.
Yeah, in some cases I do, and you know I make my annual contribution to HRC and I read the emails.
What's HRC?
HRC,
What is it?
The Human Rights Campaign.
Oh yeah, got it. Okay.
And
well, I'll tell you this: as I said earlier, one of the things. I know Marilyn Musgrave did this out of personal conviction, but it's certainly bringing in tons of contributions to her. So if you disagree with her, you better start writing checks yourself.
Well, you know, and I have sent a few letters. And I guess that's another thing that I don't really understand is that she's a representative. And it seems to me that the only thing she's really representing are her own motivations. You know, I haven't looked at polls for Colorado specifically lately, but I think that a lot of people here do support gay marriage, or at least...
well, you know, in the Denver Post poll, Coloradans opposed the constitutional amendment 47-45%. It's close, but there are not many states where a majority opposes it, so that's pretty striking.
Oh, and there we go. And we have two representatives in our House that are for the amendment, so...
Well, the thing is, you know, you elect a member of Congress, and she brings with her whatever beliefs she had, and certainly Marilyn Musgrave had worked for this in the state legislature. Anyway, I got to go. We got to pay some bills here. Nathan, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you, T.R.
I'd like the callers hanging on at 1150 KNRC to stay on, and we'll get to you very shortly.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Get rid of high monthly house payments. Take advantage of some of the best interest rates in history, as low as 3.25%. Then call Western State Mortgage at 888-617-5255 and get a loan package custom tailored for your individual needs and lower your payment by hundreds of dollars per month. Start your 2004 with a financing solution from Western State Mortgage. Whether it's debt consolidation or home refinancing, Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad. If they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Western State Mortgage will guarantee your experience will be positive, so start your 2004 off right and call them now at 888-617-5255 or visit them online at westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. 888-617-5255. Call them now, 888-617-5255. Western State Mortgage, your local refinance partner.
The Colorado Association of Nonprofit Organizations recognizes the valuable people who donate their time to our nonprofits. Celebrate Colorado Nonprofit Week by joining CAMPO at their annual luncheon at the Adams Mark Hotel on Friday, March 5th, as they honor this year's award winners. Sponsor a table for your organization or purchase individual tickets by going to www.campo.org. Support CAMPO on Friday, March 5th, and celebrate the hope that Colorado nonprofits generate throughout the year. Join our Voice at Work fraternity. It's growing every day.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, in the office, the car on the ride home.
If you support live and local radio for the Denver metro market, go to our website at knrcradio.com and click on the Voice at Work logo.
This is going to be the most astounding thing you've ever heard of.
If you listen to KNRC at your place of business, you'll get up to 10 free t-shirts for your employees.
But that stuff sounds pretty good.
When you sign up as a member of KNRC's Voice at Work program, our host will mention your business on the air as a local supporter of the station. Your place of business will be added to the Voice at Work portion of the KNRC website. We want all of our listeners to know the local places that support local radio. We'll also send you KNRC t-shirts, bumper static stickers, and commuter coffee mugs.
I mean, that's a great deal.
Go to knrcradio.com and join the Voice at Work fraternity. Another way to say thank you for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
You guys are great. I love listening.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC. You wanted live, local talk on weekends while everyone else is in infomercials or ball games. We've got it for you, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Check out our lineup. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Back to Enid Goldstein's show, at least, but not Enid. It's TRE sitting in for Enid today. On this spring-like day, we're discussing a very spring-like topic, marriage, and who should be entitled to take advantage of the rights of marriage. CJ in Denver has been waiting. CJ, sorry I kept you holding.
No problem, Tom.
Hi.
Great show.
Good.
I've got a suggestion, since we're saving the sanctity of marriage and so forth.
Yes.
Why don't we add to this amendment, while we're writing it down, the possibility of abolishing divorce in America?
Yeah, it's an interesting argument. If the goal of the ban on gay marriage is not gay bashing, but really to protect heterosexual marriage, let's put some of that language in there, too. Another thing you might do is put in a waiting period for any marriage, and that would eliminate the Britney Spears problem.
Sure, right.
But here, I'll tell you my suggestion, CJ, on this. If the point is really to protect heterosexual marriage, if that's and that's what they call the amendment, so let's assume they're telling the truth.
Right.
I think we could. My suggestion is we could do this by adding one word to Marilyn Musgrave's amendment. One beautiful word. Her amendment says now, marriage in the United States shall be recognized only as a union between one man and one woman. That's what the amendment says.
Right.
My suggestion would be amended to say, marriage in the United States should be recognized as only a union between one faithful man and one faithful woman.
Woo.
And then, once you commit adultery, then you can't file your income tax and get the lower tax rate. Then you don't get the Social Security right of survivorship. Then you can't get the insurance benefits.
Well, the private eyes will love it.
The private eyes would love it. But what I'm saying is, and I've often wondered what Marilyn Musgrave and her advisors, Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, would say about this. They certainly wouldn't want the government to be against faithfulness in marriage, would they?
I would think they would be very much against that.
So my proposal is just let's have the government put in there one faithful marriage, one faithful man and one faithful woman. And then as soon as you're proven to have committed adultery, which, of course, is the main threat to heterosexual marriage in our society,
sure,
boom, you lose all the amendment talks about the legal entitlements that come with marriage. And once you cheat on your husband or wife, you lose them. What do you think?
I love it.
I think that's a pretty simple solution. Would only add one word to the amendment. It's a nice word, faithful. Who can be against that?
Can't be against that.
And that would, if they don't endorse it, it might tell us something about whether they're really interested in protecting marriage. I have a feeling that Marilyn Musgrave, the congresswoman, would endorse this because I think she's been married for 36 years, and I think she is a believer in monogamous marriage. It'd be interesting to know what our governor, Bill Owens, would say about this suggestion.
That is interesting, yeah.
Yeah, we ought to ask Governor Owens how he feels. CJ, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Let's take a call from Christine in Longmont, if I can find it. Christine, are you there? Did I do it?
Yes.
Amazing.
Thank you.
So what do you think?
Well, it brings up a lot of concerns for me. First of all, I have to say I'm not a member of the religious right. I consider myself liberal on most issues.
Yes.
But I find myself lately, whenever I take a moral stand, being accused of being a bigot or phobic in some way.
Which, yes, right. I hear you.
Moral relativism, anything goes.
Yes.
So I find, though, my concerns seem to center right now more about the children involved and how we're kind of leaving them out of the equation. So,
yes, I hear you.
You know, here we are raising the next generation of children to either marry a boy or a girl. And also, this may sound crazy, but as a mother of a daughter, I think, okay, what about locker rooms? What about, you know, sleepovers? You know, we always separate girls and boys. And I guess I have to first preface that by saying that the reason I'm saying that is because I've gone from, I think we've gone as a society from encouraging tolerance to almost encouraging looking at this as okay, as another lifestyle choice. And I know a lot of people would disagree, but that's been kind of my experience.
No, I think society is moving that direction. I agree.
And so how is this going to affect the next generation? And then the one more little part of that is that, you know, gays and lesbians cannot procreate. And so what are we normalizing, test tube babies now? Or, of course, some will be, you know, some will adopt babies, which, you know, that's wonderful, but those are just concerns that come up now, and a whole new generation of, test tube babies are normal. So,
yeah, I don't know if you heard, Christine, I was talking earlier as a reporter. I went down to New Mexico and met a couple of these two absolutely decent women who got married when their county, Sandoval County, New Mexico, married people for one day last week.
Mm-hmm.
And they're absolutely decent people, believe me. And they have two boys. They're birth children, which one of the women bore these children through a sperm donation. And, you know, there's nothing dishonest about these women. And I said to him, don't you think your two sons would be better if they had a man around the house?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, we've thought that. I mean, they clearly love these boys. They're doing the best for them, but they are looking for an uncle or a brother or something, the role that the husband normally would fill.
Well, there's plenty of people who are having good experiences, I'm sure, you know, but when you normalize it and make it just as, you know, another, I don't know, just the normalizing of it, it is what, I guess, bothers me, the whole thing. So, and I also agree with the previous caller and yourself that the whole state of marriage is in disarray, and I think a lot of it has to do with just our narcissistic society. You know, we divorce, you know, after a month. I mean, I've seen this, many friends who just after a month or two of not being happy, they get a divorce. And I know I'm sounding maybe a little extreme here, but it's,
you know,
it's
I've been looking at the, you know, sometimes something horrible happens, but a lot of divorce strikes me too as being kind of me generation. I'm not happy, so the heck with the family.
Right. Right. So in all this talk, we just have to remember about what's best for our children, what's best for us as, you know, in our love lives or in our relationships is one thing, but what is really good for the next generation of children, that's what concerns me.
You know, I wrote a book about why societies in East Asia, Confucian societies, have such a low rate of divorce, and they feel they have an obligation to the family and the society to stick together, even if they're not particularly happy. Well, what do you think?
I agree, and I think that it's real dangerous to label anybody who's pro-family as religious right. I went to a talk by the person who wrote a book about cultural creatives, and he has been studying society for some time, and so
yes.
There's a real kind of middle ground here where there are a lot of people who would, I guess, be labeled as social conservatives, and I come from a very wild liberal past, but as time goes on, I guess I'm becoming that way, and so a lot of these traditional values that some people attack as being of the religious right, I find I have to look at and say there's some wisdom there.
I hear you. Yeah, and it's not fair to say everybody who doesn't like this or feels something wrong with it is a right-wing crazy. It's just not true. We can see that. I can see that on this program from
right.
the people
and
who called
in. Right, and I lived in San Francisco for several years. I worked in the media industry. I have many gay friends, and so it's not bigotry, you know.
It's clearly not in your case. So.
Well, thank you for taking my call. It's a very complex issue, and I appreciate your fair way of looking.
A tough issue, and I'm trying to work my way through it, too. Anyway, you're listening to T.R. Reid on 1150 KNRC. People who are holding, please hold. We'll be back in just a minute after we hear the news with Tim McLaughlin.
Thanks, T.R. Good afternoon. Cloudy, 58 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Sky Ridge Medical Center. The governor and the attorney general will be holding a joint news conference at 2:30 this afternoon to announce significant steps regarding the situation at the University of Colorado. It's expected that they'll appoint a special prosecutor to look into the sex scandal at CU Boulder. A California man has been arrested in Los Angeles for allegedly threatening to kill the prosecutor in the Kobe Bryant rape case and blow up the Eagle courtroom where the trial is being held. 37-year-old Cedric Augustine could get up to 250 years in prison. Dr. Gatewood Milligan has died from the injuries that he suffered when his Inglewood home caught fire Monday night. The 96-year-old former obstetrician delivered more than 4,000 babies during his career and served on the Lakewood City Council in the late 1940s. His 93-year-old wife Maxine was killed in that fire. Sky Ridge Medical Center's free family festival is February 28th from 10 to 3. Food, fun, health info, maternity and kids fashion show, and Miles, the Broncos mascot. I-25 in Lincoln, south of Park Meadows. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:36.
Colorado's new conservative voice, Doug Kellett. Every afternoon at this time, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
All right, then. The first thing we'll do is divide everyone into two groups. Those of you who travel less than once a month, please turn your volume dial counterclockwise. And might I advise you to get out more. You deserve it. The rest of you, esteemed airline pilots, flight attendants, millionaires, professional athletes, congrats, you've made the cut. And should concurrently visit locatingme.com, where you'll find a service designed to aid you and your family in an emergency. When you're away, you want your family to feel confident that they could contact you at any time. And further, that they have access to pertinent medical information from any computer in the world. LocatingMe.com does this and more. And because you're a special and unique individual, if you're not completely satisfied, return your ID cards within 30 days and your entire subscription price will be refunded. No obligation. This concludes our discussion. And homebodies, you may readjust the volume as you see fit.
Visit LocatingMe.com, where you'll never be out of touch.
KNRC News Time is 1:37. Time to go to Darren Copeland of the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by the Air National Guard, and pretty quiet right now around the metro area. Right now we do have some paving operation problems we need to tell you about. Leedsdale either direction between Mississippi and Holly. Also in both directions of Santa Fe between Alameda and Mississippi. So watch for those two spots. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job. You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-TO-GO-ANG. That's 1-800-TO-GO-ANG. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Michael Reagan beginning at 6 right after Doug on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We'll be back in the heavier coats as the temperatures plummet over the next couple of days. With a very pleasant mix of sun and clouds this afternoon, we'll top out close to 60 for the high, and our overnight low will be down to 30 later tonight. Now, by tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy, some scattered afternoon showers, a high near 50. That should switch over to a little spotty snow after midnight, and on Sunday, some scattered snow showers with a high around 35. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy, 58 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:38. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
CNBC Business Radio. I'm Bill Griffith. Stocks are in positive territory for the final hour of trading on this Friday. At this moment, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 43 points, trading at 10,623, while the NASDAQ is up 4 points. At 2036. When members of the Martha Stewart jury deliberate next week, they will not be considering the securities fraud charge after all. The judge hearing the case dismissed it earlier today. The domestic diva still faces, though, four other charges. Shares of Martha Stewart OmniMedia have been very strong this week, and today they are up 10% alone. Brisk business spending helped the economy expand at a healthy 4.1% pace at the end of last year. The economic picture in the current quarter is supposed to look even better, raising hopes that the recovery will spur more meaningful job growth in the coming months. And Porsche is recalling about 22,000 of its new Cayenne sports utility vehicle. Apparently there's a wiring defect that could potentially cause a fire. The Dow's up 43 points, the NASDAQ up 4. I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I'd like to take a moment to thank both of the networks that gave us our start. Our friends in television, who supported us so well, and of course Open, the small business network from American Express, who gave us a line of credit with no collateral required.
The Open Network gives you the tools to make big things happen. When you have an American Express business card, to apply, call 1-800-605-OPEN. Application subject to credit review. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
We'll be back with more music, but first, a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear.
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
We're in touch, so you be in touch. Call us with your news tips, traffic info, and when the weather's bad. 303-382-1150. Help out your neighbors by letting us know the situation in your area. We're the only locally owned Denver radio station, and we're concerned about Denver, the mountains, and the Front Range. AM 1150, KNRC.
Do you, Jeffrey, take William, whom you now hold by the hand, to be your lawfully wedded partner?
I do.
Do you, William, take Jeffrey, whom you now hold by the hand, to be your lawfully wedded partner?
I do.
Then by the power vested in me by the state of New York, I now declare you legally wed. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce Mr. William Van Rostenberg and Major Jeffrey McGowan.
Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Colorado. It's T.R. Reid sitting in for Enid Goldstein. I've been saying hi, Colorado, but I now learn that the powerful KNRC signal reaches all the way to Wyoming. And Tim is calling us from Wyoming. And if I can hit the right button here, we'll get Tim. Is that you, Tim?
You got the right button.
All right. Where do you live?
Laramie.
Really? And you can hear us?
Well, on the Internet.
On
you
the
guys
Internet,
have heard all over
yes.
The
See, I told you it was a powerful signal. They could listen to us in China.
It is.
Yeah.
My own comment, I wanted to mention that this proposed amendment, it's written in two sentences.
Yes.
And it's not just to disadvantage gay couples. It also would disadvantage any unmarried heterosexual couple. It would prevent states from providing domestic benefits to any unmarried couples. So I just wanted to throw that out. It's not just geared at gay people, I don't think. I think it's geared at all unmarried couples.
That's interesting. Yeah, I see the phrase legal entitlements is in the...
My understanding of the text This says marriage in the United States shall consist only of the union of a man and woman. Now, that would prohibit gay marriages.
Yes.
But then it goes on. Neither this Constitution nor the Constitution of any state nor state or federal law shall be construed to require that marital status or the legal incidence, and that's domestic benefits,
yes,
thereof be conferred upon unmarried couples or groups. So it would also, if you're an unmarried heterosexual couple, you're also going to be disadvantaged by this, from my read of it. So I just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah, I hear that. It sounds to me like it says if the state wants to let cohabiting couples get insurance or hospital visitation or something, it can, but it's not
required.
Think so.
I think you got a wrong read on that, because it says,
yeah,
it shall not be construed to require. If your read on that's correct, then it would also be for gay couples, but it seems to treat all unmarried couples, to disadvantage all unmarried couples unless they're married, and then it says you have to be married, man and woman.
That's an interesting question. What is the legal status of a man and woman living together for 4 or 5 years? Some of them even have kids who haven't gotten married.
It depends. If some states allow
Common law marriage.
See, common law.
Yeah.
You know, Wyoming,
yeah,
does, and it does not recognize the common law marriages of other states as well. But it just, you know, when we talk about this, we ought to know exactly what the text says. And, my read of it is it's not just against gay couples, but also, regular heterosexual couples.
Yeah, and, you know, I have to say that would fit Marilyn Musgrave's kind of worldview. She doesn't think that unmarried couples should live together.
Yeah.
And
I just one more thing. This is,
yeah,
on a little different take, though. What I don't understand is, and it deals with religious freedom, the Reformed Jews and some other Christian religions allow for the marriage of same-sex couples in their, in their groups. And what I don't understand from the religious argument is why do not those people have an equal right to exercise the freedom of their religion as someone else whose religion prohibits it? So I just wanted to throw that out.
I think that's a very interesting question. And the problem is when you start writing your personal religious beliefs into the U.S. Constitution, they're almost certainly going to run up against somebody else's equally,
yeah,
sincerely held religious belief.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Tim.
Yeah, just can I, one more,
yeah,
thing?
Sure.
Just one more thing. That what I also don't get about, Ms. Musgrave and the people who accept her arguments is, in terms of Christianity, if we were in a society that was predominantly homosexual and they had outlawed marriage between heterosexuals, would we want to be treated that way? And if we proceed along the vein that we're commanded to treat others as we would want to be treated, it seems that the symbolism is more important than the message. So that's just what I want to throw out.
Yeah, that's a very interesting suggestion. Let's just make the golden rule the guide,
yeah,
to all these legal arguments, and
real,
maybe we'd get somewhere with it.
That inequality.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for calling. Yep.
Sure.
Let's talk to Bob, if I can find the right. Bob, did I get you?
Yeah, I think you did.
All right. Yeah, see, I'm getting good at this.
Yeah, you're getting too good, huh?
Yeah. Thanks for waiting. What do you have to say?
Watch out, huh?
Yeah.
I'm concerned with this constitutional amendment. You know, it's...
Yeah.
I think on its face, it's so bogus. If it went through, it's going to be 3.5 years. We're looking at 2008.
Yes, right.
Before we can put it through. So you begin to wonder if there is any sincerity in here whatsoever, or is it window dressing for the 2004 elections? The second thing is these church groups. Now, they're all concerned because they're worried about marriage and what's happening to marriage in the United States. And so they want to get behind this constitutional amendment for gay marriage. You know, we've known for a long time that the problem with marriage in this country is divorce.
Yes.
Okay, the 50% of the couples getting married are getting divorced.
Yeah.
Do we see a constitutional amendment against divorce? No. So the churches are coming out now against gay marriage, but they never came out against divorce.
Yeah, exactly. That leads you to the question we asked before. Why do they call it the Protection of Marriage Amendment? What are they protecting a marriage against?
Yeah, yeah.
If two people in Hawaii who are women happen to call themselves married, how can that possibly impact the marriage of a heterosexual couple in Lincoln, Nebraska? I don't follow the logic there. Maybe there's a caller who could call us at 303-382-1150 and tell us what the logic is, but I don't see what we're protecting marriage against.
Well, and the other thing is, too, I've done marriage prep working in ministry in my church.
Yes.
For quite a few years, for 10 years now.
And yeah.
80% of the couples that come in to get married are cohabitating.
Okay? Yeah, that's totally common now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's totally common. And also, too, the senior citizens now are cohabitating because they can't afford to take the cut in Social Security to get married. Do you see the church raising any issue on the moral issue of cohabitating? No, not one bit is being said about that.
Yeah, and they're rolling with the blow there, yeah.
Oh, aren't they?
Yeah.
When marriage becomes a prize on a game show, do the churches come out and say, this is terrible, we ought to get a constitutional amendment for that?
Well, you know, I will say this. I'm Catholic, and my priest did come up, stand up and denounce these TV shows where you look for a husband and get married on TV.
Well, I know, but
that belittled marriage.
Yeah, the whole thing of it, if you're going to take a stand on marriage and protection of marriage, then you better include everything and not just pick out a gay couple amendment to the Constitution. I think it's just so bogus and such window dressing, it doesn't make sense.
We hear you. Thanks, Dwayne.
Okay.
Thanks for telling us. You're listening to T.R. Reid on AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
How do you pick a bottle of wine? Do you choose the nicest looking label? Do you stick to the same varietal or the same country every purchase to narrow it down? Do those little reviews hanging from the shelf have the final vote? Wine is such a subjective thing. However, most folks, no matter their level of wine knowledge or how frequently they drink wine, can spot the undrinkable as soon as it crosses their lips. The staff at Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits tastes a lot of wine. We taste expensive wine, cheap wine, fresh new idea wine, up-and-coming growing region wine. We even get to taste the grassroots movement wine. Why do we go to all this trouble? Because at Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, we want to know that the prettiest label in the Spanish section also happens to be a darn good bottle of wine.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, where variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8437.
Hi, I'm Trish McDermott, VP of Romance from Match.com. At Match.com, we do everything we can to help you succeed in dating. That's why we have so many ways for you to connect, like email, instant messaging, and voice messages, to name a few. Match.com also offers online dating tips and advice, so you always have someone in your corner. That's how we do things at Match.com. We never want you to feel alone. In fact, alone is kind of our natural enemy. Match.com, with over 10 million possibilities.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Denver Lyric Opera Guild is celebrating its 20th year, and you're invited to attend the annual finals competition judged by prominent leaders in the opera world. The Denver Lyric Opera Guild has awarded over $500,000 in scholarships to aspiring young Colorado singers. The final competition is free and open to the public on March 20th, 7 p.m. at Hamilton Hall in the University of Denver Newman Center. Join the Denver Lyric Opera Guild and hear some of the finest young singers in Colorado.
James Hardy Siding provides homeowners the beauty of wood without the usual maintenance. Visit them on the web at jameshardy.com to learn more. That's JameshHardie.com.
People are talking about AM 1150 KNRC.
I work in an office, and I listen to my favorite radio station every day.
I find out everything I need to know about what's going on.
I turn on my radio, I get all the information I need.
Whether it's Iraq or the stock market.
I listen in my car, I listen at work.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
It's what we're here for. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
When I tune in,
I'm really pleased.
Darren Copeland is live Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
I mean, this is just a basic civil rights issue. And given what's happened in Massachusetts and San Francisco and in New Mexico, and I've heard rumors of Austin, Texas, I'm surprised that no one else has stepped forward before I did. I mean, this is just basic common sense and common decency and a basic commitment to civil rights.
I believe that marriage has served society well, and I believe it is important to affirm that marriage between a man and a woman is the ideal, and the job of the president is to drive policy toward the ideal.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Line up with you. Join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
All right, we're back to Enid Goldstein's show, but it's T.R. Reid sitting in for Enid. Yes, Mr. President, I think we can all agree marriage has served society well. That's about as true a truism as you can hit on in American politics. Question is, who should be entitled to take advantage of the rights of marriage? That's what we're discussing today. Let's talk to, if I can do this right, let's talk to Jeff, who's been waiting a long time. Hi, Jeff. Sorry I kept you waiting.
Oh, not a problem. How are you doing today?
Fine, thank you. So what do you think?
Oh, I had a couple of issues, actually. I noticed you were probably being a little snide when you were asking for an amendment to the amendment that would be that, you know, infidelity would...
You find that snide?
Right.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I think it comes across clear, which is fine.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not complaining about it.
It's fine.
Address it. Because I don't think you want to punish a group of people for keeping another group of people from something they haven't had. So I think you were just trying to make a point with that more than you were being serious.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I don't know. Were you? I mean, I'm...
No, I don't think it's... Not so sure that it's government's job to protect marriage,
right.
But what I was really, you're right. The point I was making is I don't understand how banning gay marriage protects a heterosexual marriage 100,000 miles away.
I guess the issues I have is the exclusionary attitude of the homosexual agenda currently, and that is to exclude a very specific group of people that do exist, and that would be bisexual people, who, some of them physically bisexual, like hermaphrodites, who could physically marry and consummate a relationship either way, or in a situation where there's two women and one man, where someone would say, you know, I have two mothers, I have, you know, it's better for the family that way. Not that I agree with those things, but those are people that do exist and who are not allowed to marry, and the homosexual movement for marriage currently wants them excluded from this. And I don't understand the exclusionary attitude.
Well, I think I understand it on political grounds. You take in everybody else and you kind of make the issue much too big and it'll never get anywhere.
Well, it's because that's exactly what people have said it would come to, and they've denied it. I mean, I've heard these arguments.
Well,
for years,
but, you know, they made the same arguments, about interracial marriage was going to be the end of civilization as we know
well,
it.
Well, there's a difference there. The difference is very specific, and that is a sexual choice made shouldn't be public to begin with. The natural aspect of our existence is procreation, regardless of anybody's God or anything else. Homosexuals are here because of procreative sex. That's why they're here. That's the natural existence. I'm all for making deviancy legal, but sanctioning under law as normal or equitable to other things like procreation is what I'm against, like the laws in Texas.
Yeah,
where people
are
being punished by the law.
Bill, I got to take some other calls. Thanks so much for calling us. Appreciate it. Thank you. Let's talk to Jeff. Did I hit Jeff? No, I screwed it up again. Bob, you there?
Yes.
Hi. So what do you think about this?
Yeah, I agree a lot with your last caller.
Yes.
I have a question. I'd like to ask you three questions that I think it would clear some of this up.
Fine.
On both sides. I think the conservatives and the liberals have missed the mark here.
Okay.
Question number one for you, philosophy. Do you believe that in a free environment, the truth is more likely to consistently rise to the top as opposed to an unfree environment where free speech is controlled?
Yeah, I think free speech will, the marketplace of ideas will bring the truth to the top. Yes, I believe that.
Okay. Secondly, can you be dependent on the government and independent of the government at the same time?
Sure. You can be dependent on the government to put out the fire in your house, and independent of the government to pick the person you want to marry, for example.
Well, on that particular issue. I'm just saying, in totality, you can't be dependent and independent at the same time. They're mutually exclusive thoughts.
Yeah, I don't think I buy that. I think there are areas where government ought to just butt out.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm heading in that direction.
But you don't mind having government pave the highway, do you?
No. I mean, that's something garbage. I can't do for myself.
Yeah.
I can't pave the highway, but I can do a lot of other things that I can for myself.
Yes,
my point
right.
is, as an individual, things that I can do for myself, the government shouldn't be doing for me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Okay.
Okay. So my statement here is, and kind of what I'm getting at, is Republicans and conservatives are the party that they proclaim to be, anyways, the party of smaller government. I happen to be a Republican, party mm-hmm. of smaller government. The liberals have kind of this thing of, if you listen to their speech, it's, but vote for me, I'm going to save you from yourself.
Yeah,
or
I hear
save
that.
You from your neighbor or the big mean guy down the street.
Yeah, I hear that. But I think the Republicans are not following that principle here. They want.
I totally agree with you.
They want government to decide who I can marry.
I totally agree with you. But my thing is, if we want to be consistent, both from the Republican and the liberal standpoint, why can't the liberals concede that if I'm going to say, okay, fair enough, it's a free country. If you want it, you make moral choices. Either way,
make it fast.
If you want to be homosexual and get married,
Bob.
You make that.
Okay.
Why can't the liberals concede that people must accept the consequences of their moral choices or their immoral choices, and not force me to fund that consequence?
I hear you. Thanks for calling. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 58 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by John Elway Auto Nation. About a half hour from now, Governor Bill Owens and Colorado Attorney General Ken Salazar will hold a joint news conference to announce significant steps being taken regarding the situation at the University of Colorado at Boulder. It's expected that they'll appoint a special prosecutor to look into the allegations of sexual assault involving CU football players and the allegations that the football program has used sex and alcohol to recruit players. Six women have said that they were sexually assaulted by football players from the school. A California man faces up to 250 years in prison, this following his arrest in connection with multiple threats against Eagle County, Colorado DA Mark Hurlburt and the rest of the prosecution in the case against accused rapist Kobe Bryant. The arrest followed a 26-count indictment by a federal grand jury in Denver. U.S. Attorney John Suthers explains what wrongdoing is contained in the indictment against 37-year-old Cedric Augustine of Long Beach, California.
Essentially making telephone calls across state lines, in one case sending a letter across state lines, in which and those contain a variety of threats against the prosecutor. Very specific, very harsh threats.
Suthers says those harsh threats included killing Hurlburt and the entire prosecution team, plus blowing up the Eagle County Courthouse and the town of Eagle. Suthers says Augustine and people like him should know that Hurlburt's office is equipped with caller ID. Bryant is accused of raping a 19-year-old Colorado hotel employee last summer. He says the sex was consensual. A fire at an Inglewood home on Monday night has now claimed a second life. According to Swedish Medical Center, Dr. Gatewood Milligan has died from the injuries he suffered in the fire, which also killed his 93-year-old wife, Maxine. Dr. Milligan was a well-known obstetrician who delivered more than 4,000 babies during his career. Friends say that Dr. Milligan helped shape the city of Lakewood and served on the city council there in 1948. Colorado lawmakers are asking the Colorado Supreme Court to rule on whether the governor or the state legislature gets to decide how to spend federal funds. Lawmakers want to know the constitutionality of lawmakers getting the power to make that decision. Governor Bill Owens has asked the court not to get involved. Last year, Owens distributed several million dollars in federal funds, and the legislators say they should have been the ones to decide the uses of that money. A federal judge overseeing the Martha Stewart trial today threw out the most serious charge against the Lifestyle Trendsetter. Although the securities fraud count has been dismissed, Stewart still faces charges of lying to investigators, perjury, and obstructing justice. Closing arguments are set for the beginning of next week. The White House says it's prepared to help in any way it can with the unrest in Haiti, but spokesman Scott McClellan told reporters the U.S. remains hopeful of a political solution to the situation.
We remain committed to working with our international partners toward a peaceful, constitutional, and democratic solution in Haiti. That's where our focus remains.
He would not comment on reports that the U.S. is considering sending a group of three ships carrying U.S. Marines headed by a helicopter carrier. Democratic presidential frontrunner John Kerry says President Bush's homeland security strategy falls far short of where it should be.
Where he's acted, his doctrine of unilateral preemption has driven away our allies and cost us the support and critical cooperation of other nations.
Kerry argued that Bush has weakened the U.S. military by overextending it. Kerry, a decorated Vietnam War veteran, said post-war Iraq is in disarray and U.S. troops are bogged down in a deadly guerrilla war with no end in sight. Kerry suggested that the Bush administration has turned Iraq into a training ground for the next generation of terrorists. The depth of the Catholic Church's sexual abuse scandal is detailed in two reports released today by the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops. Statistics compiled by the John Jay College of Criminal Justice found more than 4,000 priests were accused of abusing children in the 52-year study period. On Wall Street, stocks continued mixed just before the close of the trading session. The Dow is up 13 points, the NASDAQ down 2, the S&P 500 up just about 3.5. In sports, no game for the Colorado Avalanche or the Denver Nuggets tonight, but they both hit the road for games tomorrow. Avs will be in Columbus to take on the Blue Jackets, while the Nuggets are in San Antonio to play the Spurs. Colorado Crush take on the Austin Wranglers tonight at the Pepsi Center. Crush are 2-1 this season. Linebacker Al Wilson will continue to wear a Denver Bronco uniform for a number of years. Wilson has inked a 7-year, $42 million deal with the Broncos. Wilson was asked what he plans to do with all that money in his fat bank account.
I just want to pay my mama's house off. That's all I want to do. After that, you know, everything else is kind of irrelevant to it. But, you know, my biggest thing is to help my family and, you know, to take care of them and make sure they're good down the road.
At all John Elway showrooms, get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty and a money-back guarantee. No worries at all when you get a John Elway certified used vehicle. Honest. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
It's important to me.
You can rely on us at Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm a single mom, and I've always got somewhere to go.
No matter where you are.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work. When I take the kids to school.
When it's important to you.
News is important to me.
Rely on Denver's AM 1150.
That's what's important to me.
KNRC.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We're the Style Matters gals, and we love to shop.
But sometimes we don't like to shop for the same things. For example, I'm sick of looking for thigh-high white boots for you.
Well, that's because you have a short attention span. But there are two boutiques where we both love to shop. Posh and the Perfect Petal at 32nd and Lowell in the Highland neighborhood.
These two boutiques are more than just gift shops. They sell almost anything your little heart desires, such as Anthony Shaving and skincare lines for men, stylish hats, the accessory for this season, dishware, and decorative home items.
How about unique floral arrangements, the hottest new skincare line called Juice, and a bridal registry, invitations, and gifts? It's all at the Perfect Petal and Posh.
Two incredible boutiques, Posh and the Perfect Petal, at Lowell and 32nd Avenue in the Highland neighborhood. Open Monday through Saturdays, 9 to 8, Sundays, 11 to 5.
We both love to shop there because they give great shopping.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the Air National Guard, and really looking pretty good around the metro area right now. Not a lot of accidents. In fact, no accidents. We do have paving operations both directions, Liddesdale between Mississippi and Holly, as well as on Santa Fe, either direction between Alameda and Mississippi. Had a bit of a slowdown on Broadway, south of town, right around County Line, the Littleton area. It was just a traffic stop, but there were a lot of police on scene, so watch for delays. If you separated from military service and wish you'd never left, join the Air National Guard. Work part-time and earn retirement benefits. Call 1-800-TO-GO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Jimmy Lakey in the mornings beginning at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. One more pleasantly mild day today before our temperatures take a nosedive and a little snow and rain moves in. It'll be partly cloudy through the afternoon with a high near 60, fair this evening, and then cloudy later tonight with a low around 30. Some scattered afternoon rain showers expected on Saturday that should switch over to snow after midnight, and with spotty snow showers on Sunday, a high only around 35. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's 58 degrees under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 2:08. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
AM 1150 KNRC.
We think
Denver's choice for talk.
Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
Hi, everybody. Here's the Enid Goldstein Show, but as you've already figured out, without Enid Goldstein. This is T.R. Reid sitting in for Enid today. 58 degrees. It is starting to cloud over. We can see that cold weather coming in, and those of us who plan to go skiing next week are delighted to see it. But basically, it's been a very spring-like week in Denver, which is fitting because we're discussing a very spring-like topic, marriage. That's what we've been talking about. Now, as you will recall, earlier this week, we had been talking about the senior United States Senator from Colorado, Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell, a man who's up for re-election in November. And we've expressed some, shall we say, dissatisfaction with his response to this fairly outrageous scandal in his office. Just to review the bidding very briefly, a staffer in Ben Nighthorse Campbell's office was given a raise, and in return, the chief of staff said, "By the way, you got to give me $2,000 of that raise back." Ladies and gentlemen, this is called a kickback. You are not allowed to give somebody federal money and then demand part of it back in your own pocket. This is illegal. And the person who was asked to pay the kickback subsequently resigned, reportedly wrote a letter to the senator's office saying there's illegal kickback activity going on in your office, and nothing happened. Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell has finally issued a statement 8 months later saying, I was not aware of the incident, as I pointed out, is not an adequate statement. If there's crime going on in your office and you get a letter saying so, it's not legitimate, it's not acceptable to say 8 months later, I am not aware. We need more of an explanation. What did the senator know? When did he know it? And why did he allow illegal kickbacks to be going on in his office, if that is what happened? And we only know this from the newspaper reports. Meanwhile, yesterday, Senator Campbell had to admit himself to the hospital with symptoms that he thought were a heart problem. Now it's described as heartburn. This is a 70-year-old man who, frankly, has not shown a lot of zeal about wanting to be reelected. He's running for reelection, but he hasn't done much about it so far. Now he seems to have an illegal kickback scandal in his office. You would think that this situation would be tailor-made for Colorado Democrats to run against this Republican incumbent with these possibly health problems and serious, obviously legal problems. But the Democrats are nowhere. They don't even have a candidate. And talk about this, we have very kindly received a call from the Colorado State Democratic Chairman, Chris Gates. Now, if I hit the right button, maybe we can get Chris on the phone. Chris, are you there?
Nice job. You managed to hit the right button, apparently.
Yeah, I'm the guy. And you're calling us from Washington, D.C., is that right?
I am indeed. I'm in a cab on my way from Dulles into the city, so if I lose you, I apologize.
You know, we hear you clearly now. Thanks for calling. So how do you feel about this situation with this illegal kickback in apparently illegal kickback in the senator's office?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that our prayers are with Senator Campbell about his health. And obviously he's not in great health. It's a serious thing when a member of the United States Senate chooses to check themselves into an emergency room. And so we really hope that he recovers soon. And
I hear you.
I understand that this has been a really stressful time for him. But,
yes.
You know, I've known him for a long time, and I know that
you probably knew him when he was a Democrat.
Even from non-newspaper reports, that he's not doing very well, and we all just hope that he does better soon.
Okay.
And on the other piece, I got to tell you that Ginny Kotnick, his former chief of staff, is on record as saying that he was aware of the arrangement and approved it. And that's why the Justice Department is now looking into the situation. This is not about ethics. This is not about niceties. This is about criminal law. And Ginny Kotnick and Ben Campbell both can't be telling the truth. Ben says he was never informed about it and he didn't know about it. Jenny Kotnick, his chief of staff, has said she asked his permission. He was aware of it. He agreed to it. He approved it. And
yes.
So this is why we need to get Senator Campbell under oath as soon as his health allows. We need to get him under oath so that we can find out really what's going on here and who told the truth. Because my sense is that, you know, we don't, you know, Colorado isn't New Jersey, and we don't think that there's any charm in political corruption. And if this guy is unethical and running an unethical operation, people want to know about it.
His statement to date has been, I was not aware of the transaction in question. Do you think that's a sufficient statement?
Well, no. I've heard that, and I think it's important to say that what he's really saying when he says that is that my chief of staff is a liar. Because
yes.
His chief of staff has repeatedly said that he was aware of the arrangement and he approved of it.
Yes.
So when he says, I know nothing about it, he's saying, my chief of staff for 12 years is a liar. And so it seems to me that this is far beyond the niceties and the gentleman's rules of a Senate Ethics Committee investigation, that we need to get the FBI and the Justice Department involved in this.
Do you know, are they?
We have a formal request. The Justice Department does not acknowledge publicly what they're doing, but we have it based on inside sources that the current debate is whether the public integrity section of the Justice Department handled this out of Washington or whether the U.S. Attorney, John Southers, handled it out of Colorado, and that's the internal debate going on. That's what we've heard, and I think that's also what Mike Sorahan has reported in the Denver Post.
Yes, right, okay. The reason the Colorado U.S. Attorney would be on the case is because if there was a kickback demand, it was made in Denver.
Right, but we've formally requested that U.S. Attorney John Southers recuse himself, not because we think he's a bad guy, but because Senator Campbell was, you know, the lead sponsor in his confirmation hearing as U.S. Attorney, and so we think this is most appropriately handled by the Public Integrity Section of the Justice Department, and they're the folks that just handled the case in Connecticut with Governor Roland, and the case in Illinois with Governor Ryan, the case in Ohio with Congressman Traficant. They're the folks that deal with issues like this, which are basically issues of political corruption, and we think they're the best entity to deal with this.
Now, I know, Chris, that you wouldn't share this view, but I think most of the sort of pundits and political observers who are watching this year's Senate races had, up to now, had rated Colorado as a pretty easy reelection for the Republican incumbent. I know you wouldn't say that, but other people
right.
were.
I would disagree with that.
Now, I've covered a lot of Senate races, and I'm now looking at this with a scandal about illegal payments in the office, the 70-year-old senator checking himself into the hospital and beginning to think maybe we're going to have a much closer race in Colorado. What do you think?
Well, you know, like I said, I mean, obviously the senator is not in good health. He's been in the hospital recently and all of that, but that is, you know, I think he's vulnerable based on his issues and his votes and the fact that he's not raising money and he's not campaigning. And I got to tell you that I've known Ben for a long time, and his health is a personal issue, and it's obvious to everybody if you read the papers this morning that he's having a tough time, and we're just not going to make a political issue of that.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm thinking when 70-year-old men check themselves into the hospital, that's when they then decide they might resign and not want to go through an election campaign.
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly heard that. We know for a fact that Governor Owens has had political meetings this week, and that Congressman Scott McGinnis has had political meetings this week, and we know with a great deal of certainty that there has been sort of contingency planning on the Republican side in case Ben decides that this is just too difficult a task for him.
Now, the only kind of dark spot for the Democrats, I must say, is it would be a help if you had a candidate.
We have great candidates. We have candidates currently in the race.
Well, look, see, you talked to Gary Hart, he said no. You talked to Wellington Webb, he said no.
From Colorado Springs named Mike Miles.
Yes.
And if you've not met him, you should. He's a great guy. And so of the four that we currently have in the race, He is certainly the leader of that pack, but this weekend we're also going to get a decision from Rutt Bridges, and if Rutt gets in the race, I think he is another very high-quality candidate who could beat Ben Campbell.
What would you bet on Rutt Bridges, yes or no? What do you think he's going to do?
You know, I'm not a bettor, so if you ask me to describe it in a different way, I would tell you that as of today...
Do you think it's likely that he'll run?
I would say that he's leaning toward getting in the race, but you and I both also know that politics is open to midnight epiphanies where you decide either to run or not to run, and so I've just urged everybody that to wait until he stands in front of the microphones on Sunday afternoon, and he'll make his announcement on Sunday afternoon. But if you're asking my guess, I would tell you I think he's leaning in, and I think he's likely to run.
You think this is looking like a closer Senate race than perhaps it was 3 months ago?
I think that's an incredible understatement. I think this will be a targeted national race. I think that the national party on my side certainly recognizes that this is an opportunity for a pickup, and we know that the other side is very, very worried about this based on the conversations and meetings that have been taking place over the last week since Senator Campbell was accused of this criminal wrongdoing.
Chris, what are you doing in Washington? Is this what you're talking about?
You know.
You can tell us. We won't tell anybody.
Things. Stuff. Meetings.
Yeah, politics, I would assume.
Yeah.
Anyway, what you're saying is maybe in a week or two you'll have a candidate, or you'll be heading...
No. We'll know on Sunday. Rutt will make an announcement Sunday afternoon, and you'll know yes or no whether or not he's in. And if he's in, I think it's a two-person race between Mike Miles and Rutt Bridges. And if he doesn't get in, then I think that Mike Miles becomes the front runner. And I think whether it's Rutt Bridges or Mike Miles, I think that both of them will absolutely be capable of beating Ben Nighthorse Campbell if he ends up being the Republican candidate. And I truly think at this point, just the way this whole thing is playing out, that we really have to say if Ben is the candidate.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too. It's an if at this point. Pardon my ignorance, but how are you going to choose your candidate? Is there a primary, or you do this at caucus?
Well, you know, we have these crazy laws that both parties adhere to. We have caucuses and county assemblies and state conventions and primaries, and so the grassroots of the party will choose our nominee. And if it goes to a primary, the primary will be August 10th, and we'll know our nominee after that. And if Bill Owens and Scott McGinnis are in a primary on the Republican side, we'll know on August 10th also if
you're thinking Bill Owens might run for the Senate? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I mean, it depends on whether Ben resigns or simply announces.
Well, I mean, if Ben resigned, you think Owens might be a... Oh, that's interesting.
Well, either way, I think that that Owens has certainly indicated this week to his political circle that he is interested in this seat. I know that there have been several planning meetings planning on the contingency of Ben either resigning from the Senate or announcing that he would run for re-election. And I know that Scott has had similar meetings as well, which is
thank you, Chris. Thanks so much for calling KNRC 1150 AM. Let's take a break and pay some bills.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
So yesterday, I was looking at houses online, and all of a sudden, bam, a pop-up window selling pizza took over my computer screen. I can't deal with pepperoni at a time like this. Not when I'm trying to find a house.
Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage reduces your house hunting anxiety with online resources that offer detailed information at the local level. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
Come Out presents a cleaned-up gangster story.
Did you rat me out? Did you rat me out?
Hey, why don't you go
fudge
yourself, all right? You ungrateful piece of
salami.
Next time I shoot, I'm going to take a bat and break your
fudging rump roast.
If we can clean them up, we can help make your fuel injectors clean, too. One bottle in the tank helps clean out harmful deposits and can restore lost performance. Come Out. Good, clean driving.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC. We call it Drive Talkin'. Go to our website at knrcradio.com and look for details on how you can get a free KNRC travel coffee mug. That'll help on those morning commutes, and it may stop those stupid hot coffee spill lawsuits. There are few things that are free these days, but you'll find them at knrcradio.com. Go there, sign up, and the Drive Talkin' coffee mug will be yours. You can even get unlimited coffee refills in your fabulous new KNRC coffee mug at Sugar Beet Cafe. It's just another way for us to say thank you for making AM 1150 KNRC your number one choice for news and talk in Denver. AM 1150 KNRC. Hear more live weekend talk than any Denver radio station. Listen for Ben Ferguson live Sunday nights at 6 p.m. exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. The Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
Should I take her first?
Yeah.
I'm on. It's TRE. This is not Enid Goldstein. It's Enid Goldstein Show. TRE doing his klutzy best to try to fill in. It kind of reminds me of when Thomas Jefferson went to Paris. And the French said to him, oh, you're here to replace Ben Franklin. And he said, nobody could replace Ben Franklin. I'm just kind of filling in. And that's the way I feel. But fortunately for Enid Goldstein fans, I've got a caller here that I think you're really going to want to hear from, if I can hit the right button. Enid, did I get you?
You did.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. And I'm hearing that you're doing a fabulous job. So thank you very much for doing this.
You're laying it on thick, I think. I'm actually doing a rotten job, and I think everybody's going to be thrilled when you come back.
No, I don't think. That's not the reports I'm getting. I'm hearing that it's really good. So thank you. And I'm here in Washington, D.C. I want to announce that I'm still working on going to the Academy Awards, but it's pretty unlikely.
You're on the wrong coast, I believe.
No, so we're always clinging that 5% possibility, but I think it's not going to happen.
Well, what would you wear if you went?
I actually bought the dress first, but I
really?
Didn't bring it with me, so I would wear something that wouldn't get me thrown out. But the reason I'm calling is I wanted to give a kind of report from Washington, D.C. This is a conference of broadcasters that I am attending.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and speaking today was Peter Jennings interviewing John McCain, Senator John McCain.
Yes.
And talking about a number of issues, including indecency issues, prompted by that tipping point moment when on the boob tube we did see an actual boob.
Yes.
At halftime, but Janet Jackson, it was hard to know, you know, when they talked about a right boob, whether it was the president or Janet Jackson's, but anyway.
Yeah.
And the prompting Clear Channel stations to pull off Howard Stern from six of their stations.
Yeah, that is why they did it, wasn't it? It was this burst of outrage about filth on the air.
It's right. It was sort of like the culture, or as Senator John McCain said, it's like the culture said, we've had enough.
Yes.
But Senator John McCain says this comes as no surprise to anybody who's been a constant MTV watcher. It's just that that was not what the audience was for the Super Bowl. It was far an older and a larger audience.
I watch MTV, and it's filthy. It's outrageous. It hurts me to think my kid's watching that stuff.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, some of the songs are pretty good.
Some of the
songs are pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that's what they say about Playboy magazine
and
interviews.
Yeah, that's right. I only read the articles. Fortunately, on MTV, you can't understand the lyrics. I think when you buy the album and read the lyrics, they're horrendous.
Right.
But on MTV, basically, it's just a bunch of people dancing in the street, sometimes in a pretty suggestive way.
Right, always simulating sex.
Yeah.
Which, my thesis is, of course, they use sex to sell you everything, but there are only a few counties in Nevada where you can buy it legally.
I think that's right. Yeah,
so
I saw this.
It's no surprise, then, that they have to sell you the Viagra ads because everybody's so inured with these sex ads, nobody can apparently perform.
I guess
without
that's
a
right.
pill.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, it's the same thing as first they sell you the Sara Lee pound cake, and the next commercial is for a diet program.
Right, exactly. Okay. They like to cover all their bases. Tomorrow we're going to be, Bill Bennett, a now disgraced moralist.
Oh, yes, right, yeah.
Now has his own talk show.
Oh.
And they're kicking it off, and he is going to be talking to us tomorrow. And apparently talk radio is a place for all disgraced people or politicians. And I'm thinking Ollie North, and I'm thinking G. Gordon Liddy, who's also been here.
Yeah.
And people like that. And so the next one up is Bill Bennett.
Yeah, of course. I suppose he's still, he's anti-sin and still conservative and wants everybody to do right. Isn't that right?
Exactly right. But don't you think it was interesting when this big gambling Jones was revealed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what they say. You know, a liberal is a conservative who got caught. like Bill Janklow, you know, I was the governor of South Dakota. He was always for tough sentences and tough on law and order. And then he faces a sentence in prison and he pleads for mercy.
That's right. What was the outcome of Bill Janklow's case? I know you were covering that.
Janklow was convicted of manslaughter. He ran a stop sign at 75 miles an hour and killed some poor guy. And,
right. And
they sent him to jail for 100 days, which I think is just right. He didn't need 5 years in jail. One day would have been right for him.
He was sentenced to 100 days in jail?
Yeah, 100 days in jail. He starts March 7th. And here's, I mean, just talking about...
Does the victim's family feel like that's not exactly enough of a punishment?
Well, they're suing him. I mean, they're going to punish him in the pocketbook. You know.
For wrongful death.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. But the thing is, at the county jail where he's serving, he has to wear a black and white striped uniform.
Mm-hmm.
He has to go out and clean the streets on a road gang. And he has to pay $50 room and board to the county for putting him up in the jail. And these are all reforms that Bill Janklow put in when he was governor. Don't you think he's going to prove how tough he is on criminals, and now he's paying the penalty.
Can you spell karma?
Yeah, exactly. Isn't
a word
that right?
Used frequently as falsus in
some
places. You know what? I think 100 days is still not enough for what he did and for his arrogance.
Yeah, I hear you, but as I'm saying, I would argue one day in jail is fine for him. He didn't need five. But anyway, we can disagree on that. You paying any attention to our senior senator from Colorado, Ben Nighthorse Campbell in Washington?
I am hearing. I was interested in the Jeannie Kotnick scandal, which strikes me as just awful. And then I've gotten word, I've seen Doug Kellett here, that Nighthorse Campbell had a heart attack. How serious is it?
Well, his office is saying it was heartburn. But he's 70 years old, and he checked himself into a hospital. We just had, on the Enid Goldstein show, we just had Chris Gates, the Colorado Democratic chairman.
Uh-huh.
And here's what he told us. He couldn't say it, but he strongly suggested that Ben Nighthorse Campbell is not going to run for re-election. And, which, you know, the man's 70 years old. He's got a criminal scandal in his office. He hasn't shown much energy about running, Enid, and now he's checked into the hospital. Chris said several times that he feels badly, but the senator's not a healthy man.
Is it that he checked in to avoid the scandal and lay low for a couple of days, or is he really seriously not healthy?
No, I think Chris Gates' suggestion is that he's not healthy anyway, and the tension involving of this criminal scandal in his office made things worse. He didn't quite put it as bluntly as I am.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so he is suggesting that Ben might not run for re-election, and then he had a very interesting palette of Republicans who might want to run, one of whom is Scott McGinnis, the congressman who's resigning over on the Western Slope.
Mm-hmm.
That's predictable. But the other one is Bill Owens.
Bill Owens?
Is that amazing?
My goodness.
Chris said that Bill Owens has been having political meetings all week trying to decide what to do if Ben Nighthorse Campbell decides not to run.
Well, all right, there are two questions that immediately spring to mind. If Bill Owens decides to run, what's he going to do about his marital situation and all the rumors that are swirling around about it?
Well, I think...
How much of a factor, a negative factor, do you imagine that might be for him?
Well, I don't know how much it'll be. I think it would be a serious factor for him nationally if he wants to run for president, as we believe he does. But it's a very interesting question, particularly since he's an advocate of this... you know, this no gay marriage amendment. He's a big family values guy, but he's not living with his own family at the moment.
No, he's not. And there are such juicy rumors around. We want to know whether he has spawned any other families either in his time of being a family values guy.
Yeah, the rumors are all around. Yeah.
The question that comes to mind, Tom, is if if Nighthorse Campbell decides that he's going to drop out, what does that do to the Republic? Do you think that Gary Hart might reconsider it, or somebody else? I know, is it Mike Miles who's in line, you know, running now?
Well, according to Gates, just told us Mike Miles is running hard, but on Sunday, this man, Rutt Bridges, whom I don't know if you've ever heard of, he's a software zillionaire.
Is
going to announce, I think he's going to run. It looks like he's going to announce his candidacy. That would give them a big bucks candidate who could spend a lot of money. And if they have an open seat, you know, just about all the political analysts in America have listed Colorado as a sure win for the Republican incumbent. Mm-hmm. And boom, if Ben drops out, things are going to change.
Ooh, that will be very juicy. But Rutt, whatever his last name is, Rutt Bridges?
Yes.
It does sound like a mating ritual among four-legged creatures. But assuming that
sounds like a Western TV star, doesn't it? You know,
huh?
Cowboy star on TV or something. Yeah,
that's true. And not in need of Viagra never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
By the name. But anyway, he didn't have a lot of name recognition, does he?
Zero, but that's what all those millions buy, Enid.
I don't know. I think Gary Hart doesn't want to do it for a lot of reasons, but would he have, with no Ben Nighthorse Campbell, just theoretically, hypothetically, what would that be for him if you can envision a scenario?
For who? For Gary?
Yeah, if he decided to step up to the plate.
I think Hart's in trouble. He'd be a good candidate, but he looked at it and said, no, it's a little hard for him to come back now, I think. It's a little late, particularly with at least two other Democrats in the race. He had his shot. I think he missed it.
One other thing I wanted to tell you, I'm about across the street from the White House.
Wow.
And the last time I was in Washington, D.C., I'm trying to think now, but it's probably been about 3 or 4 years. And the last time I was here, it was very easy to be across from the White House. And now it's very difficult. There are all kinds of barricades there. They are doing some construction, but it almost looks like they're creating a kind of moat around it. I'm not sure quite what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that's really an unfortunate thing that's happened in our country.
That they succumbed to the terrorism.
Yeah, that we're blocking people off from the government.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought, you know what, it's beginning to look like an armed camp here.
Yeah, Washington looks more and more like an armed camp. I think the first President Bush, I don't know if you remember this, but he put up concrete barriers in front of the White House, and then Clinton knocked them down.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and said, no, people ought to be able to drive down Pennsylvania Avenue. It's a main street in the city, but that didn't last.
Senator John McCain was talking about what politicians really know, and he said they know that there are about how 40 or 45 states are going to go in the presidential election. It's about 5 states that they don't know, and that those 5 states, what he was essentially saying is that those 5 states are going to determine who wins. And he talked about Ohio right now, Ohio looking more and more like, you know, Ohio looking like a swing state because of the difficulties there.
350,000 people out of work, yeah.
And Florida being more in Bush's camp than it was in the last presidential election. But I'm just thinking, if John Kerry were president, a wonderful thing that he could do visually to make a great stand would be to tear down some of these moats that have sprung up around the White House.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, the last Democratic president did it, so maybe he could do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for filling in for me. I really appreciate it.
Delighted, Enid, and I know that your listeners are going to be thrilled to get you back. When do they get you back?
They get me back on Monday, and they're going to probably want their money back and clamor for you.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You and I can plug it out when I get back.
Yeah, right. Thanks again for calling, Enid.
Thank you, Tom.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you were listening to Enid Goldstein on the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 58 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by James Hardy Building. Governor Bill Owens wants to appoint 2 more members to the investigative panel that will investigate the sex scandal at the University of Colorado. In addition, the governor wants the legislature to grant subpoena power to that panel. Owens is also appointing Attorney General Ken Salazar to conduct his own investigation, and Attorney General Ken Salazar will also have prosecutorial power to prosecute anyone that might have been involved in that. Six women have accused CU football players of sexual assault, and there are allegations that the football program uses sex and alcohol to recruit players. The governor is speaking right now at a joint press conference with Attorney General Ken Salazar. Following a 26-count indictment from a Denver federal court, a California man has been arrested for allegedly making multiple threats against the prosecution team in a Kobe Bryant rape case. 37-year-old Cedric Augustine of Long Beach, California, faces up to 250 years in prison if convicted. 96-year-old Dr. Gatewood Milligan has succumbed to the injuries he suffered in a fire at his Englewood home Monday night. Milligan was a well-known obstetrician who delivered more than 4,000 babies during his career. His 93-year-old wife, Maxine, died in that fire. Visit McKay Landing in Broomfield for homes carefully crafted with durable, low-maintenance James Hardy siding products by James Company. For more information, call 303-466-6560. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:38.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music filled before you. Horacio Gutierrez joins the Colorado Symphony Orchestra on February 27th, 28th, and 29th to perform Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 1. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
KNRC News Time is 2:39. Time to check with Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Albertsons, and we're still trying to get those traffic problems out of the way due to paving in both directions. Leads still between Mississippi and Holly, as well as on Santa Fe between Alameda and Mississippi. Do have an accident. Sounds like northbound I-25 up in the Lyons area, right around Highway 66. A van in Yale, a car versus a motorcycle. Did you know that Albertsons Pharmacy now gladly accepts workers' compensation prescriptions? Just one more way the folks at Albertsons work with your needs in mind. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Doug Kell at 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. One more pleasantly mild day today before our temperatures take a nosedive and a little snow and rain moves in. It'll be partly cloudy through the afternoon with a high near 60, fair this evening, and then cloudy later tonight with a low around 30. Some scattered afternoon rain showers expected on Saturday that should switch over to snow after midnight, and with spotty snow showers on Sunday, a high only around 35. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy skies, 58 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Steve North, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks closed mixed after an uncertain, largely quiet session, the last trading day of the month. The Dow gained 4 points, ending at 10,584. The Nasdaq was down nearly 3 to 2,030. That's how the business day ended. It began with an unexpectedly good Commerce Department report on the gross domestic product. That broad measure of the economy's health for the last quarter of 2003 is an encouraging sign for continuing solid growth. Shares of Martha Stewart's company jumped more than 10% after a federal judge tossed out the most serious charge against her. Stewart still faces 4 criminal counts, including conspiracy and obstruction of justice. Closing arguments are set for Monday. And former New York Stock Exchange Chairman Dick Grasso reportedly says he will not return any part of the nearly $140 million in compensation he received last year. In fact, his attorney indicates Grasso may go after another $50 million that he believes he is owed. Steve North, CNBC Business Radio.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And I'd like to take a moment to thank both of the networks that gave us our start. Our friends at television, who supported us so well. And, of course, Open, the small business network from American Express, who gave us a line of credit with no collateral required.
The
Open Network gives you the tools to make big things happen. When you have an American Express business card, to apply, call 1-800-605-OPEN.
Application subject to credit review. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Hey, Mary, what you doing?
I'm declaring my independence. I'm switching my internet access to ProLink.
I didn't know you played golf. Where do you play?
Golf? Are you kidding? I couldn't tell a golf ball from a disco ball.
Well, didn't you say ProLinks?
Yeah, but ProLinks isn't about golf. It's about DSL, dial-up, and all that, you know, internet access.
I've never heard of ProLinks.
They're an ISP. They offer the same high-quality internet access as the big guys, but without the poor service and annoying Super Bowl ads.
Is their connection fast?
Sure. Their DSL taps directly into large networks, just like the big guys, and they're giving me 2 free months of internet access.
Well, that settles it. I'm switching to ProLinks. How do I get connected?
Call them at 303-972-3218 and they'll get you squared away. That number again is 303-972-3218. Mention this ad and get your first 2 months of high-speed internet access for free. That number again is 303-972-3218. You'll be glad you did.
DSL cross-connector installation fees are not included. Not available in all areas.
Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Enid Goldstein, weekdays at noon.
Things we women have to do for these kids.
I don't always agree, but I always listen.
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
It is the Enid Goldstein Show, but without Enid. We had Enid from on the telephone from Washington. That was a very nice interlude. But this is T.R. Reid filling in or doing his best to fill in for Enid. It's spring-like weather, and we've been talking about a spring-like topic, marriage. Our president says marriage has served society well. There's a politically brave statement. How about apple pie has served society well? How about motherhood has served society well? It's good to have fighting politicians representing us in Washington. Let's hear what Dwayne has to say on this topic. Dwayne, sorry I kept you waiting so long.
Oh, sorry, no problem.
Hi.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Reid. How are
you?
Yes,
fine, thanks.
Well, you know, we can all take some consolation in the fact that if marriage turns out not to be the unblemished paragon of virtue that President Bush claims it to be, he can always blame it on bad intelligence.
The CIA told him.
Yeah, we can excuse him for that, I'm sure. And, you know, when it comes to marriage, I'm not really that terribly concerned about either hermaphrodites or bisexuals. I'm still waiting for one individual to point out to me where a recognition of gay unions would either be detrimental to individuals or society on a whole. And I have yet to hear that. But, you know, one of the things that I really hope people are paying attention to is it's simply not gay marriage. When you look at this administration, we have renewed assaults on abortion rights. We have renewed assaults on gay rights. We have renewed assaults on civil rights through things like the Patriot Homeland Security Act. And most recently, we have this kind of assault on the entertainment industry. And people, you need to keep in mind, number one, we are a nation ruled by law, not the majority, and we are not a theocracy, and by God, we do not want to be a theocracy. And I hope you're paying attention to what's going on here, because it is getting damn scary.
Yeah, I hear you. On the other hand, I'll bet you a dollar to a donut that this anti-gay marriage amendment never passes.
I don't think it will. I hope it won't, and I can't
imagine.
Because
the protections built into the system to protect our Constitution.
But, you know, it's really troubling to me that not only some of our leaders, but so many people would actually want to amend our Constitution to prevent gays from marrying. I mean, to me, that is almost incomprehensible.
Yeah, well, you raised the question, which is also my question. What are we protecting marriage from? I'm not saying it's the argument is wrong. I'm just saying I haven't heard the argument telling me why two guys getting married in Vermont, whom I've never met and never heard of, have any impact on my marriage. I don't understand that. I think the governor of my state moving out on his wife and kids has a lot more impact on marriages of heterosexual people in Colorado than some gay marriage in Hawaii or something.
I agree with you absolutely. I mean, if the two guys in the apartment next to me are simply roommates, if they're lovers, or if they're married, how in the world does that affect my life or my relationship to other individuals? And it doesn't.
And if you don't mind, Dwayne, I'd just like to say, if there's somebody out there who can explain this to us, and I'm mixed on this. I'm really open on this. If somebody can explain to me what we're protecting and the Protection of Marriage Amendment, I'd like to hear it. Give us a call at 303-382-1150. What is the threat? And I say this because some pretty intelligent, decent people say they do see a threat. What is it?
Well, you know, this alludes to a previous caller who was saying that it's kind of paramount to keep that family structure together. I really, from my personal view, think that's kind of myopic. My parents should have never been married. I think there's a lot of people out there who probably made a terrible mistake when they got married. And if you're doing anything to kind of force them to stay married when they shouldn't be, what you're doing is condemning people to live in a very unhappy environment that's kind of tantamount to a combat zone. And I agree. I think a marriage is a very, very important commitment. But if you've made a drastic mistake, you should be able to say, you know what? We did. We aren't the people for each other, and maybe we should move on.
Yeah, that sounds logical. I'd say I would rather see a couple, when problems crop up in the marriage, particularly if they have children, I'd rather have them say, let's see if we can't work this out. There are solutions.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. I think you should make every effort to work it out. But when you come to a point, and I think most human beings do this, unfortunately my parents didn't recognize it until like 25 years. But, you know, once you reach a point where you absolutely realize, look, there's no compatibility between us.
Yeah.
This is a bad environment. We should really, for the sake of everyone, we should move on here. Then I think you should make that choice. But yeah, I don't consider marriage to be frivolous at all. And if you make that commitment, then at least make an effort to work through
it
and see if it works.
Thanks, Dwayne. Right,
thanks
so much.
Bye.
For calling. Yep. Let's hear from Jim and Aurora. Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
Hi. Sorry, I kept you waiting.
I got on the phone because I heard Enid's piece.
Yes.
And it was driving me nuts. But
all right, tell me why.
Because I just moved from Hawaii to D.C.
Yeah.
I lived there, and all of those barricades went up around the Clinton administration, and sometimes she goes so far to try to prove George Bush is a bad guy.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you know, yeah. The Democrats did it too, you mean. Yeah.
I was there. When the plane flew into the White House.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
That's when the barricades went up. Clinton blocked off Pennsylvania Avenue.
Oh, got it. Okay. All right.
And it wasn't like that until then. And the fact that they might have a little more security right now, given the fact that there's all these people flying planes, the two planes flew into the two biggest buildings in the world just a couple years ago, that they tried to fly into doesn't seem illogical to me.
Well, Jim, do you think we're going to have these concrete blocks outside our government offices forever, or is this a temporary thing?
As long as we lay down and not fight back, I suppose. But I mean, I think that, you know, you gotta fight. But they're irrelevant of that. I mean, just the always blaming everything on George Bush is just ludicrous to me.
Yeah, I hear you on that, of course.
And then the other two things, just to show this, these kinds of things that come up. The last caller just said, ruled by law. Aren't we ruled by law? It would be one thing to make that claim if we were consistent, but we're not consistent when we make that claim when it is us, the liberal side, okay, who is breaking the law in California to do this. Now, to do it's fine, but to say that aren't we ruled by, I mean, we go back and forth.
I'm with you all the way on that, yes.
Blame all these things.
Yeah.
And government, you know, we're blaming the governor. Isn't the governor cheating on his wife a bigger impact on family? But when Clinton did it, wasn't a big deal to us. Why can't we just be freaking consistent for a few minutes?
I'm
with
you.
I mean, gee, Christmas. I mean, if we could just do that, I would feel so much better about my viewpoint.
Well, we are consistently trying to pay the bills here at KNRC, so let's take a break. Thanks for calling, Jim, and we'll be back at 11:50 a.m. KNRC.
One of America's greatest cities finally has a great talk radio station. AM 1150 KNRC.
Libs lovers.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives haters.
Ignoramus.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Rocky Moselle of the International Star Registry. For over 20 years, One Gift has become the most unforgettable gift ever received, naming a star after someone. For $48 and a call to 800-282-3333, the Star Registry will send a full-color parchment certificate, sky charts to locate the star, and a fascinating booklet on astronomy. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry now at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that is remembered forever.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Cole Creek Community Theater presents the award-winning comic drama Steel Magnolias. Evening performances will be February 27th and 28th and March 5th and 6th at 7:30 p.m. with matinees February 29th and March 7th at 2 p.m. All performances will be held at the Louisville Center for the Arts at 801 Grant Street in Louisville. For tickets to Steel Magnolias, call the Cold Creek Community Theater box office at 303-665-7211 or go to www.ccctheater.org.
Buying a new vehicle at John Elway is worry-free. Get a low, no-haggle price, a special price match guarantee, and a three-day, 150-mile money-back guarantee with a John Elway new vehicle. Honest.
We have word now of a major four-car collision on the westbound side of the Interbelt.
A toxic road spill that has literally shut this road down.
Breaking news.
With winds in excess of 80 miles per hour. Now, residents have been advised to take precautions.
Before the team with this kind of record even thought about going to a championship game.
The jury has reached their verdict, and as you know, this has been a very long trial.
When there's breaking news, you'll hear it on AM 1150. KNRC.
The Denver Nuggets are making a run towards the NBA playoffs, and it won't be easy. Saturday night, they head to San Antonio to take on the Spurs. KNRC has all the action for you starting at 6 o'clock. Mello, Andre, the Birdman, Nene, and Camby head down to Texas to meet Tim Duncan and the world champs. The Western Conference is heating up. NBA action with the Nuggets and Spurs Saturday night at 6, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC.
Darren Copeland is live Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Here again, the Enid Goldstein Show, but definitely not Enid Goldstein. It's T.R. Reid sitting in for Enid Goldstein. We've been asking people to call in and tell us at 303-382-1150 about the protection of marriage amendment. What are we protecting marriage from? And I think AJ wants to talk to us about that. Hi, AJ. Did I get you?
Hi, Pierre.
Hi.
What we're protecting it is not we're protecting marriage. We're protecting the right of the people through their elected representatives to decide what the standards in their community are. When people in Massachusetts pass a law that says this is what marriage is, and then a group of judges, a small majority of judges say, no, you're wrong.
Yep.
And not only are you wrong, but this is now what the legislature has to write. That's superseding the right of the people to make decisions for themselves. When California passes Proposition 22, I think it is, saying this is what marriage is, and an elected official in San Francisco says, no, you're wrong, that's not what it is. That's what the Defense of Marriage Act is going to do, is allow people to make those decisions for themselves. If I'm not mistaken, the Defense of Marriage Act, which Bill Clinton signed 5, 6, 7 years ago, already allows that to happen. We in Colorado don't have to recognize a marriage from Massachusetts if
yes.
we choose not to.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, what you're seeing, or what we're seeing, is judges deciding for themselves what the law says and deciding for themselves what the law should be, irregardless of what the legislatures have done. And so this act is going to just restore a little bit of the balance that should exist between the judiciary and the legislatures.
That is such a good explanation. I'm really grateful to you for calling. So really, you would say we ought to call this the Defense of Democratic Choice Act.
Yes. I think conservatives are foolish to try to couch this in social terms. For me, the issue is all about an overreaching judiciary that ignores their proper role in the three-part system we have.
And I guess if I So what would you say if I pointed out to you that the guy doing it in San Francisco was a popularly elected mayor who said what he was going to do when he ran?
Yes, that's true.
What does that do to your
argument? There's a state law there that he has to deal with, and what bothers me is that the judiciary in California hasn't stepped in already and said, sorry, this is what the law is.
That was interesting to see two judges who both said, I can't quite decide right now.
Yeah, hello. That's
what's your job?
It was Weasley.
Yeah. Well, I think my guess is that all those marriages, and we're up to about 4,000 of them now in San Francisco, are going to eventually be declared not valid.
Well, we'll see. I don't trust the judiciary anymore, so.
But let me ask you this, AJ. If the Massachusetts legislature decides not to reverse what the Supreme Court said, if they don't pass a constitutional amendment, would you then be willing to let Massachusetts go ahead and have gay marriages?
As long as somebody can tell me that in Colorado, Colorado gets to decide what marriage is in Colorado. I believe very firmly in the federalist aspect of this. Different communities can set different standards for themselves.
Boy, I don't want my hat to you for being a consistent person, because I thought I was going to get you there, and you gave exactly the consistent answer.
I try.
You're doing it.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling. This is obviously a topic that people want to talk about. They're thinking about. I think some people have their minds made up one way or another. Seem to be a lot of people out there kind of like me. You kind of have the feeling that something's wrong, and you know. On the other hand, the fairness, the notion of treating homosexuals like everybody else in America seems like a fundamental demand. Let's see what Kathy has to say. Hi, Kathy. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. You've been doing a great job.
Thank you. Where is Masonville?
It is in Larimer County, and it's in the foothills, and Marilyn Musgrave is, unfortunately, my representative. And I just wanted to make a comment, not so much about her, but her last campaign when she got in.
Yes.
I think I've heard rumors, I'll say that $3 million were poured into her campaign by the RNC and also fanatical right-wing religious organizations. And I'm really disappointed that the local press, or at least the press in Denver, didn't really look into that, because I remember I got in the mail, I think, three flyers, and it would have been very expensive to send those flyers. They were
yeah,
really
and
large.
You know what? There's going to be more this time, because she has raised so much money. I don't know about the Denver papers. The Wall Street Journal, about 3 days ago, did a story on her, and they said she's doing this out of sincere conviction. She's not doing it for the money, but boy, is she bringing in money.
Yeah, well, I just think that if people in this part of Colorado, which is fairly conservative, realize where the money has come in and how she's been put into office, they might think twice.
Maybe it would make a difference. Thanks for calling. Monday, Enid Goldstein will be back on the Enid Goldstein Show. So long.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 58 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Air National Guard. Governor Bill Owens has appointed Colorado Attorney General Ken Salazar to serve as a special prosecutor to investigate the recruiting scandal at the University of Colorado.
I'm appointing Attorney General Ken Salazar to investigate and potentially prosecute allegations of sexual offenses and other related criminal matters regarding the football program and recruitment activities at the University of Colorado.
The governor also wants to appoint two more people to the investigative panel that is investigating the football recruiting program. Six women have accused CU football players of sexual assault, and there have been allegations that the football program has used sex and alcohol to recruit players. Owens made the announcement at a joint news conference with Attorney General Salazar this afternoon. Following a 26-count indictment from a Denver federal court, a California man has been arrested for allegedly making multiple threats against the prosecution team in the Kobe Bryant rape case. U.S. Attorney John Southers said that when 37-year-old Cedric Augustine of Long Beach, California, allegedly phoned in threats to the prosecution team, he wasn't wearing his thinking cap.
The bottom line is people shouldn't be naive about this. Law enforcement has trap and trace devices, and when people make threats,